You're listening to Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Right, Wakefield in crisis. Let's start. Let's start, Phil. Wakefield in crisis. Come on, Phil. We need to get in. We need to get in because these two are going to be ripping in, Phil. Come on. Crisis. Wakefield are in a mess.
Crisis.
Yeah, Wakefield are in a mess. They're going for the bottom four, Phil. Come on before these two start with us. Leeds in crisis again.
I could hardly hear you then, Phil. Will you speak to me, Phil?
Yep, I'll gladly speak to you.
Yeah, I'm not so sure your mic's working. We'll check that out in a minute anyway.
That might be a good thing.
It could be.
There's people cheering.
Yeah, not quite. Right, Kevin Sinfield got the gig. But I'm not being rude. You could have Wayne Bennett, Tim Sheens, whoever else you want in charge at Leeds. They've got no forwards. They've got no creativity. They've got no chance. They're going down.
My mic's not working, apparently.
Well, you actually sound all right.
Oh, is that right?
It's always very loud. And it
well, there's a surprise. Yeah.
They're on the wrong number.
Well, Woofie Vachaw, you know, let's have a look here. Woofie Vachaw now, let's go back a week. And it's just over a week now when the announcement got made about Brian McDermott, 7:15 last Monday morning, that he was sacked. And then it was all silence, and then everybody was saying, speculating who's going to be the coach. Is it going to be Dennis Bates? Is it going to be David Fern? Is it Lowe's are going to get it? And loads of players being branded about. And then the announcement on Thursday night that there's going to be a big announcement on Friday at 10 o'clock. And one thing for sure, I'm sure if you'd have said it to Phil Kaplan, and certainly if you'd have said it to me, that Kevin Sinfield was going to be named the director of rugby and in charge of first team affairs. Well, like I said to you a few times, Mark, well, you're bonkers, because Kevin's always said, he said it to me, and I know he said it to Phil, that he's not interested in coaching. But boy, oh boy, has it been a massive, massive turnaround. And a surprise not being announced as a director of rugby, but the director of rugby role is meant as well that he's going to be in charge of first team affairs, he's going to be in charge of team selection, he's going to be in charge of recruitment, which is part of the director's role, I guess, from there, but he's going to be on the training paddock. So, boy, oh boy, and the big game against the big Yorkshire rivals, 42-10, absolute hammering, 42-10. The fact of the matter is, Mark, I know myself, I've been there with the coaching. Welcome to the real world, son. Welcome to the real world. And the big thing now for Kevin is quite simple.
Do you want to turn your phone off, or what we're doing?
It's off, Kevin. But we'll be for sure here now. What Kevin's got to realise is, and he's got to be open and honest, and I'm sure he will be, as you just said, that Leeds team is simply not good enough and lacking quality.
For the second time in a couple of weeks, I've seen him get steamrolled in the second half because they've got not enough big men. Yeah. Phil, you were there yesterday.
That's right.
What do you mean?
I think there's three things. Firstly, let's not get blinded by the fact that Leeds were poor. I want to praise Castleford, first of all. I thought that guys like Mitch Clark made a massive impact on that game, and that's exactly what Leeds don't have at the moment. A fresh young kid coming off the bench who hasn't been overexposed, a bit like Mikhail Ledski has been, who is going to be a huge talent, absolutely no question, but I don't think anybody had envisaged he would have played 16 or 17 games this year. Clark, who has had to bide his time when he was given his opportunity, a bit like Gadwin Springer did when he first arrived at Castleford, huge impact. In fact, everybody on the Castleford bench and their rotations from Darryl Powell were superb, meant that Leeds were just blown away in the second half, exactly as they had been against Catalan, when they had four big men on the bench, and Leeds just don't have that size at the moment. You know, they've badly missed a Mitch Garbutt-type player, just even to stand up to the Cass forward. So I think the way Cass played, which allowed Jake Truman to show us the skills that he clearly has got, and I know Darryl said he was great at fullback, but he clearly is one of the upcoming halfbacks in this sport, and on the back of the forwards creating carnage, he was just a joy to watch in that second half, and his two tries were perfect examples. And then as the Leeds pack gradually got worn down, he spotted the gaps and exploited them magnificently. So I think that the one thing we need to say is Castleford did play exceptionally well in the second half. I think Kevin Sinfield coming in as a director of rugby is a really interesting debate, which not many people will want to hear because it's about Leeds, about a change in direction that I don't think we ever envisaged, that part of this changing the coaching regime was going to mean Gary Hetherington handing over some of the responsibilities which he has solely looked after. Now, you're not going to change that in 2 days, But if he is prepared to bring in a director of rugby who is going to be involved in retention and recruitment, who is going to do an overview of the coaching structure, and the one thing that did change, apart from that Leeds were pretty good in the first half, is that Rob Burrow is now clearly part of the first team coaching environment. Now, again, that's only happened within one day of an appointment, but that's an indication that things will change at Leeds. And what Leeds need to do now is look at what Huddersfield have done over the last 2 weeks. They got heavily beaten at Hull KR in a poor performance, but Simon Wolford turned that around this week, and they were great against Hull. Really solid.
Yeah, but Phil, they've had 6 wins in 7. Yeah. Leeds have lost 8 on the spin.
Oh, absolutely. No, and it is about the people that you can bring in. And I'm not sure there's going to be too many players that are going to be fit from... But... Yeah, absolutely.
When you went to the presser yesterday, Gary Hetherington came back into the stand and he basically sat by himself
right
for about 10 minutes in the director's box, and he was looking at the league table on his phone. I could see the website he was on. He was looking at the league table.
Well, it's out of
Leeds'
hands
now. And he was sat there. He just looked like a man lost in his own thoughts.
He needs Huddersfield to lose a game, basically.
If Huddersfield beat Wigan on Thursday night, Leeds, if they lose on Friday, they're in the bottom four.
But also as well, I just want to say, Phil, and I'm just looking at this squad here, what Leeds picked yesterday, right? And we're talking about the big men. And when we're looking about not getting the balance right here, right? Let's have a look at that pack of forwards. Aletsky, Parcell, Singleton, Ward, Ferris, Cuthbertson. Is that not good enough to set a platform for Myler and Lilly? But then also as well, right? When you look at the bench...
They weren't as good as Sané, Lefeo, Moores, Millington, Milner and Watts, that's for sure.
Well, that pack, apart from Aletsky, are all grand final winners. You keep telling me, Phil, that you know, they've got winning mentality. Anyway, so then when you look at the bench, in Walker, Delaney and Mullally, I'll buy into them two were there, and Josh Walters, why is it Brad Dwyer and Cameron Smith on the bench instead of Walker and Josh Walters?
Well, it's interesting that they return to Jordan Lilly. I don't know whether that's a route that Kevin Sinfield wants to go down. It will be interesting to see the 19 that's picked for this week.
Can I suggest how I think this is going to go?
Mm.
I think... I won't say they chuck Lilly under a bus at the weekend. They put Lilly in to get Moon out of the half-back, I think, to get Moon playing in the centre again, because I think his game's gone. I think his game is shocking this season. And then they brought on Jack Walker off the bench. Now, Ashton Golding, to me, looks like a man scared that every mistake he's going to make, he's going to get left out for. I think Golding will stay at fullback, and I think Kevin Sinfield will say to Jack Walker, we need you to play at halfback.
Interesting.
And he'll play alongside Myler.
He came on at 6. I mean, I know they moved it around.
Only briefly,
And then Moon went back 6. But actually, that would be another really interesting dynamic, because when Walker said he wasn't sure whether he wanted to sign a long-term deal, it was quite clearly, I want to be fullback.
Mm. But if Kevin Sinfield says, I need you at six for the next...
Well, actually, he probably won't need him at 6 next year, because I think Leeds have signed somebody to play 6 next year.
All
but,
right, okay. Care to tell us?
I don't think Joel Moon will be here.
Yeah.
And I think the money that he is on will be paid
Australian?
To an NRL player.
Good.
Who can also kick goals, which is quite handy.
Oh. Don't play for England, does he?
No. But I think all of that is happened before Kevin Sinfield has come in post. He needs to do something in the next 3 games. And it might well be that Jack Walker playing at 6 is one of the things he tries.
Yeah.
But Walker could have six in his amateur days.
He was a halfback.
Yeah,
I think
when you're good at amateur days, that's where you play. So,
but Gary, I'm not being rude, mate. Your pomp playing behind that pack wouldn't create anything.
And that's the argument we've just
second
had on the last
half,
tackle.
They got absolutely steamed. The bench yesterday, Holmes, Massey, Cook and Clark were all far better than any forward Leeds had yesterday.
Yeah, but also as well, right? You know, like as I said last week...
Although Delaney only lasted 10 minutes and Mullally had a...
No disrespect to Brett Delaney, right? Who is...
He's been an awesome servant. He's been brilliant.
But his game time now is so limited. You can't rely on him.
And you cannot play in that heat if you can't use your players for longer periods.
What I said last week, you know, obviously Matt Dermott got the sack. First of all, I want to ask Phil the question and all is that, you know, there have been, you know, Kevin Sinfield's been... Has he been rushed back or has this been thought of? Kevin said he had the phone call last Wednesday regarding it. So the relationship between him and McDermott, obviously... is tarnished. So now Mac has gone, Leeds really... So Mr. Carrick, I reckon, and says, we need Sinfield back And as I say, we need him at the helm of this club.
I think it was Gary Hetherington's idea to change the whole department. I think the interesting thing in all of this is seeing Rob Burrow running out there with the messages, because there was absolutely no love lost between Brian McDermott and Rob Burrow, and that is quite open and honest about that in the film that they put out. So I think that Rob Burrow's potential progression through the Leeds ranks would have been stymied with Brian McDermott there. So again, that's another avenue that's opened up that Kevin Sinfield would be looking at.
I would have given Burrow the job till the end of the year. I just think they just need pepping up.
But I think having him involved in training all this week, and you know, maybe having Jack Walker training at six all this week, if that's what they're going to do, maybe having Mitch Garbutt coming back this week. I think they always
Mitch Garbutt being rumoured to be on his way.
He's under contract, so somebody would have to pay a fee for him. I know there are a couple of clubs looking at him. They like him.
I ask a question here about this whole Leeds thing, right? Small print at the bottom of the thing. Or there'll be a review at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Is this Gary Hetherington's way of buying time? Because he knows for a fact, right, whatever happens, Leeds could get relegated, no one will blame Sinfield, and therefore no one will blame the club. I think he's bought time, and with a view to, I think they'll bring in a big name coach next season, and Sinfield will concentrate.
But anyway,
that's the question. Do you agree?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You think Jimmy Lowe's is going to remain first team coach?
I think Jimmy Lowe's is an out-and-out coach, and I think that the relationship that Sinfield and Lowe's have got is a very close one, very different people.
Right.
Lowe's was the coach at England when Sinfield played his best rugby under Steve McNamara, and I think the bits of the job that James Lowe's doesn't like are all the bits that Kevin Sinfield will take on. But what James Lowe's can do when you talk to people in the game is he is a good coach. He is the guy that will map out training sessions, that will put the cones out, tell them if they're doing defensive drills, look at some things that might try and counter what the opposition do. That's what he's happiest doing. So I think, the difference might be in other areas of the coaching organisation when Kevin Sinfield reviews the work that's been done and says, we need to make a change here, there or wherever.
Well, obviously, the review will be not good enough, simple as that. But also as well, as I said last week now, as what's been coming out of the Leeds dressing room for... But it's 8 on the trot now, but it's 7 on the bounce. What we lost up to last week was quite simple. We'll get ourselves out of this. We'll get ourselves out of it. They're running out of time, Phil. They're running out of time. But the motivation for them players, for me now, it's not motivation coming from a coach. It's not motivation coming from Kevin or Lawsley. Them players now, personally, have to take it on board, right, that Leeds out in a mess. And they have to take responsibility for the performances.
I think that's one of the reasons why the board decided that they needed to be changed with Brian McDermott, because rightly or wrongly, I think they felt that after games, to keep coming in saying, we're all right.
Yeah.
Clearly weren't all right.
Correct, absolutely.
And that's, again, another reason behind what's happened.
Right, so, but the players have to take on board, Phil, at this moment in time, what they are serving up, it is not good enough, because they've only 3 games to go, and as I said last week, Castleford want to send them into the bottom 4, Wakefield now, they're getting themselves dragged in, well, not got themselves, they are dragged in. So they want to put Leeds in there, and then they've got witnesses.
They can end it on Friday.
They would have been dragged in if Leeds had won.
That's Wakefield's motivation on Friday night.
The facts are, Phil, if they lose Wakefield, they are only a point away.
Yeah.
And they've got some tough games coming
up. They've got Hull and...
Huddersfield.
You know, so they're no guineas. So Wakefield's motivation is to making sure we're not going to get into the mess.
I think something you said as well yesterday, when we weren't sure how Leeds were going to play, and afterwards looking at how they had, is that the one thing that Brian McDermott has had as his mantra is, there is no structure. If you see, you play.
Yeah.
So when things go wrong, there isn't a lot to fall back on other than maybe 5 drives and a kick. And if you haven't got a particularly good kicker, that does expose you. But what Kevin Sinfield will give, along with Chev Walker and Rob Burrow, is some structure. If you look at the way the Leeds under-19s have played this year under Rob Burrow, they've only played half a dozen games, but they're towards the top of the league because he's given them something to play with. And I think, if nothing else, that's what these two will be doing.
Talking to my nephew yesterday, watching the rugby, and we're talking about, because he doesn't know which team he wants to support. He was Bradford, but now he's Castleford because they're good. And I said, why don't you like Leeds? And he said, we all hate Leeds. There's only 4. He knows.
Only 4?
Well, you go.
What, and you've not got him brainwashed to be down at Bellevue?
Nah. It's,
you need to work
I'm
on your
that,
uncle's
not
skills.
Not that cruel.
I thought he'd been a Wolfpack fan.
Well, that as well. The other exciting news is, on Leeds, on James Lowe's, back in 2002, I think this is after Wakefield's second financial crisis in Super League, which is not bad, about 2 in 3 years. just after we'd had a meeting the year before where John Harbin begged us all to give money and then he buggered off to Dewsbury. The club appointed Peter Rowe as their head coach. Here's one for the younger listeners. Peter Rowe was the head coach under director of rugby, Peter Fox, who'd been nowhere near the game for a while, but he came in as director of rugby. But you know when you go and do an interview and you put your mic in front of someone and you say name and position? Peter Rowe, a friend of mine, went to an interview and he said, Peter Rowe, chief scapegoat when things go wrong at Wakefield Trinity. That's James Lowe's. That's James Lowe's, everything good.
At Wakefield last year, did it work having John Keir as director of rugby and Chris Chester as the coach?
Chris Chester was
Has it worked at Toronto to have Brian Noble as director of rugby, Paul Rowley as the coach?
Chris Chester was in charge of the team.
It has worked.
Why? Because they've spent and bought every decent player going.
Wakefield didn't.
But
Wakefield had two people that dovetailed that had slightly different roles.
Kevin Sinfield, when it came to going forward, will not do any coaching.
He's not
completely different.
Who picks the team?
Because John Keir did the defence, Chris Chester did the attack, didn't he? So they were both.
The 17
coaching.
Men on the bit of paper were written by Chris Chester, weren't they?
Yeah.
The 17 men on Toronto were written by Paul Rowe.
I think he would have taken advice from John Keir, wouldn't he? He would have talked to him before those 17
men. He was the first team coach and not a puppet.
Yeah. It's a publicity stunt. That's all it is. Get Sinfield in because no one will blame Kevin. No one will blame him.
I don't know.
I'll tell you what, he looked yesterday. He looked like he hadn't let himself go, has he?
Is he going to come out of retirement?
I'll tell you what, looking at him yesterday, he could do. Well, actually, looking at Leeds yesterday, he could do. He wouldn't be the worst player.
Well, Kenny's.
What, do a Jamie Peacock?
Yeah.
Hold on, the last one come out of retirement. It cost the club £1 million. Now, stay where you are, Kenny.
What's that old KR that sacked Albert Kelly on moral grounds and now will sign anyone with any misdemeanor going?
Well, why do old KR need Todd Carney?
Yeah, he won Australia's Got Talent with his.
Justin Carney, Joel Tonkins.
Why do they need Todd Carney?
Who are they signing next?
When Maguire's doing the business, why do they need Todd Carney? It was used at Salford. Salford didn't want him. Nobody in Australia wants him. So why do Ulkis and Rovers want Todd Carney? Absolute waste of time. Mm. You're going very well, Ulkis and Rovers, without idiots. Simple as that.
Yeah, I agree. Isn't it? I agree. But what I'll also say is Tim Sheens were getting pelters earlier in the season. And people get him out, he's not picking the right team. He all along has been planning for the situation.
Yeah, now. For the situation.
And in the last 6 weeks,
results.
They've beaten Wigan, they've drawn at Cass, they battered Salford yesterday. I have every inclination they'll beat Widnes next week.
Yeah.
They're going the right way.
Scored 90 points in two games and could get out of it.
And battered Huddersfield last week as well. So they're in a great run of form.
They are indeed, so why do they need Todd Carney?
Well, I'm with you. Right, let's get some social media.
Although, to be fair, Joel Tompkins has been a good signing for
them. Oh, look, I'm not saying, but you can't sack one player for not being the right culture and then bring someone else's problem. That is hypocritical, shall we say, Phil. But there you go. What can we say?
Make a rod for your own back.
Good evening to Craig, by the way, who commandeered me. He was in the... The boot room. He was having a few bevies in the boot room yesterday. And he said, I hope we're going to get stuck into Kaplan and Schofield. That's what he said, over the fence. Well, we might do.
Sir Kev, who has got lots of work to do currently. I don't know if he's got an office yet at Headingley.
He's got one at Kirkstall.
Oh, that's all right. Kenny is saying he needs to get rid of half the squad. Jamie Jones Buchanan, great service, but he's 38 and constantly injured. Ferris, not good enough. Ward, constantly injured. Walters, stealing a wage. Bit off. Golding, bag of nerves. Doesn't bother me in the slightest if Leeds don't win anything for 3 or 4 years. Time to rebuild, says Kenny.
Also as well, Phil, you know, we know the stats what Kevin's got at Leeds, you know, and so now he's still going to be doing... One day a week at the RFL. Will the Leeds fans be happy at that because of the mess we're
in? What does he actually do at the RFL?
He's moving the high performance department to Manchester. He's an ambassador
for the...
What is
he, a removal van driver?
No, there's a logistical plan behind it.
Logistical plan?
Yes. It doesn't
what
just happen. When you move... I don't know, I'm not party to it, but when you move house, you don't just turn up.
The RFL being organised, I can't understand that.
He is organised. He is ridiculous.
Funny, because every time I've seen Kevin on a bit of the RFL, he's just having a cup of tea looking at his laptop. He didn't actually see it do anything.
Is he playing snake?
He's an ambassador for the 2021 World Cup.
Fine ambassador he is. Fine man he is. This is not a Kevin thing. I'm just thinking, I don't think there'll be any great shakes if he went to RFL. Oh, I'm not coming in this week, lads, so I'm a bit late. They go, oh, never mind.
I think that might say more about the RFL.
Well, I rest my case.
Who have had him working nearly 7 days a week and only paying him for two.
Well, he's an idiot then. He shouldn't have done it.
Well, he's a passionate guy. Wants to do it right.
They'll work for free.
Look, he'll do a good job at Leeds.
He will.
But you made a point earlier, he needs Gary Etherington to let him do his job.
Yeah, absolutely.
He
and
can't do a job if Gary's holding the purse strings. It's going to work.
He's now on the senior management at the club. And if you were to take a longer-term view other than the next three games that they've got, which will be his sole priority at the moment, he's going to be sitting around a table and in a position to perhaps at some stage in the not-too-distant future take over from Gary Etherington.
Yeah.
Now, if this is the start of that kind of succession planning,
mean, Phil,
that's really interesting.
He won't be able to help James Laws, will he? Because he'll be too busy then, because he'll have a proper job to do.
He's got a proper job.
I'm telling you, I'll have you some fish and chips on the fact that they get a new coach next season.
It won't be a big name coach if they do change the coaching structure. They won't be getting a Dave Ferner or whoever else was linked with the
job.
Who
will get them, Phil?
He's been strongly linked with Wigan, Annie Ferner. Yeah. And apparently Adrian Lamb,
Ferner said if he wants anybody over here, he wants Wigan. So if he said he wants Wigan rather than Leeds, I wouldn't have him at Leeds.
Fair enough.
I wouldn't.
Fair enough.
Wouldn't consider it. No.
Gavin. Interesting point. Before I get into all the Leeds bashing on social media. John Wells works for Sky and Cast. Conflict of interest, says Gavin, he's a Cast fan. So Kev works for Leeds in the RFL. No problem whatsoever. Just wait till the referee announcements come out. Oh, just wait for that. It's all going to be great then.
Who do Leeds want reffing on Friday then?
Yeah, exactly.
Who do Leeds want reffing on Friday? I can't believe you've even suggested that.
I'm joking. Matt says,
why was James Child in the Championship, by the way?
Because he was obviously demoted for making a mistake. But the referees are not accountable.
What mistake did he make?
The referees aren't accountable.
Said Tellon's performance, wasn't it?
Oh, against Wakey.
Didn't give the penalty try. But referees aren't accountable.
I've watched four games this week. Four games live. Not one issue with the referee at any games.
Liam Moore was superb on Sunday in really, really hot weather.
Yeah.
That he controlled that game magnificently.
Had a good game. Called it as he saw it. Yeah, good stuff. Again, you know, I haven't been funny now. That's quite a lot of games I've watched recently. I think the refs have been good. I didn't see the James Child one, so I can't comment on that.
Matt is not a Kevin Sinfield fan. He says he makes Andy Murray look dynamic. Chris says McDermott in. How much of the problems at Leeds are players like Moon not wanting to be there?
He does want to be there. He is suffering a crisis of confidence at the moment that comes with defeat.
Well, hang on. He was playing rubbish at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. So, I'll tell you what. I'm going to make an observation now, right? I'm going to make an observation about Leeds walking off yesterday. They walked off. They were looking at each other. They looked shell-shocked. Mm. They were broken. Mullally looked broken when he came off the field.
They've no leader, Mark. They've no leader.
That's exactly what I said on the radio yesterday. This team needs a leader. Now, whether that is a Jamie, another guy there, Jamie Joseph, you put him in that team, there's a leader. There's someone saying, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
They need that leader. They are begging. And I just think, I worry Friday comes too soon because that pack of forwards got absolutely battered yesterday. Mm. You mentioned Aledski. Yeah. Good play, great young
great
talent.
Potential.
But teams are spotting him up now. They're running at him all the
They're
time.
They're smashing him.
He's coming up with errors. And that's not saying he's no good. It's saying his body's probably on the edge, you know what I mean? But they're spotting him up. They're not daft, are they? They're going to. You're seeing a kid who's a bit out of convo. You're going to say, right, we're going to him. We'll run over the top of it. And that's
absolutely,
what teams are doing.
But also, as well, but again, this is what I'm saying about the Leeds dressing room, Mark. It needs some honesty. You know, instead of them all saying, "Well, who's going to be leader? Who's going to tell me this? Where am I supposed to?" They've got to man up. They've got to grow some crystals and take responsibility as individuals and as a team collectively. Say this is not good enough. You know, and I'm sure Kevin's realised that now. You know, he said, "Yeah, I've only been here 2 days and I've seen this game live. I know what the problems are." You know, so hopefully now, instead of what's coming out of the dressing room, we'll fix it. Get ripped into them. Let's have a response because we need that response on Friday night. Because if we don't, the way that Wayfield got hammered against Catalans, by the way, how good were they at the weekend, Catalans? But Wayfield now, they have got a reason, they have got a purpose to beat Leeds on Friday night. They've got two reasons: to put Leeds in the bottom four and for Wayfield not to get themselves near the bottom four.
I thought Matt
great motivation.
Matt Parcells showed a response yesterday because I think he was told as long as you can stay out there, you can stay out there, which is what he wants.
Why is he not in the team?
Exactly.
But I'll tell you now, if Parcell gets injured, Leeds are in trouble. And I mean trouble.
I thought he played yesterday like the Matt Parcell of 2017. I know he's been carrying a shoulder injury.
Sutcliffe player.
He played really well in the first half, but he took a knock and ended up on the wing.
I'll tell you what, Jack Walker got absolutely
absolutely smash it.
By the game, Eden.
Three times, right? The Eden challenge was unbelievable. But to be fair to him, he got straight
up. Yeah,
he
just got
like,
and played the ball,
geez.
Shook his head and went, all right.
Yeah. By the way, people getting in touch. Chris, who is a lifelong Bradford fan, he says he's loving Leeds in decline.
The thing
he's
got
listening
wrong.
In Thailand.
Hashtag Leeds in crisis, not Leeds in decline, Chris. You can't buy a Leeds in decline t-shirt. We can buy a Leeds in crisis t-shirt at shop.com.
Tell you what, you two are loving. Look at smiles on your two faces.
I'm a Leeds player, Gary. Yeah. Yes, this is hurting me greatly. Yeah.
Talking of which, played really well yesterday. Enjoy it again.
Yeah, it was a bit more my level yesterday.
Did he take my advice by not letting big men run at you? Did he get out of the way with
the
big man?
No, Cass had a big man, yeah.
I got
a couple of ball steals in yesterday. I didn't get done for him either.
Yeah, but did he stay out of the way with the big man?
Is it any coincidence?
I made a couple of tackles yesterday.
Why? I keep telling you. What for?
I thought, you know, I'm rubbish. I might as well just try and get stuck.
But is it any coincidence that a certain player wasn't in the team and victory was had?
Well, I don't want to say. But my teammates were impressed. I'll tell you what, they played some great rugby game yesterday. One of the tries they scored. I'm not being rude, right? And this is not... My teammates, some of which have got various ailments and injuries and disabilities. I'm watching a guy with one arm spins a 20-yard pass out to his mate who's got one arm on the wing, catches it and races 70 metres. I'm thinking, that is unbelievable. Mm. Absolutely unbelievable.
People who haven't seen it, do watch it. Because we can talk it up all we like, but if you watch it, you'll become absolutely imbued with the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you won't see anything other than great rugby.
It's on the Proper Sport Facebook page right now. And that's the message I was getting yesterday. A lot of people watched it, couldn't believe it. One of the cast lads got smashed in the tackle. Again, he's got one arm. And he fell on his bad shoulder. And he was like, you could tell he was really hurt. And he just got up and he went, he said something like, I'll be back on, lads, don't worry. He said, but no soft tackling. He was, you know what I mean? It was just... The spirit of the game was great. Castleford are a learning team,
absolutely.
If you like. They've only played a couple of games. They'll get better for that. But it was great. And I think, again, the people that watched it couldn't believe quite what they were seeing. There was just one moment of controversy when one of the Leeds lads got the ball and he broke a few tackles. And the kid went to tackle him, was one of the red shorts, and he ran straight over the top of him, which were a bit unfortunate. But he genuinely didn't realise. I mean, he had his head down, he would... Yeah, but no, it was good. And people, I think a lot of the cast fans, there were quite a few watched it before.
There were 2,000 or 3,000 in the ground when it finished.
Yeah.
And everyone to a man, woman and child stood up and applauded. And if you can get that reaction from both sets of fans in the ground, then you're achieving something really rather special.
Yeah, and well played. The Leeds first team players who shook hands with the players when they come off. Little things, but good. Ollie Holmes was the same on the way in. He gave me some hammer. He said, what do you call me, speed bump or something after I got smashed the other week. He went, now there's speed bump. But he said to the Leeds lads, play well, lads, get stuck in. Hope you enjoy it. It was good.
Big Love Island fan is Ollie Holmes.
Yes.
Always on the Instagram bounty.
Lad needs to get some work or something. Out of work. Go on.
Talk about Cass, they said.
Yes.
Liam says, Jake Trimmer looks like a lad coached by three top-class halfbacks. Jordan Lilly looks like a lad coached by a prop.
Well, Scoey, Jake Truman has been given the keys to the house.
Yep.
And Daryl Powell said, there you go, son. That's where you're playing. And John Lilly's never had that luxury.
Exactly.
And yesterday, Truman, all right, he had Moores outside him for an hour, was unplayable at times.
Right, man,
then Senny Lefeil.
Right.
But how many times he was running at the line, he was passing. He could have had a hat-trick of tries in the first half, Truman.
Right. We did a commentary when Leeds played Melbourne, didn't we? And what did I say about Bronte Croft? You know, what Craig Bellamy has done for him. So listen, you're in charge of all these champion players. These champion players trust you. Now you've got the confidence. Off you go. Now, that's exactly what Daryl Powell, Ewan Truman... When I saw Ewan Truman rip Wigan apart last year, brilliant to see from a young coach given there. It's like the same now with Sean Wayne at Josh Woods. You know, giving him his role. It's same what Holbrook is doing with Richardson at St. Helens, and also, too, hopefully, Radders, he'll give young Harris opportunities from there, because if you put the trust in these young players, the senior players then... Because the forwards will tell you at times, they can't think for themselves. They don't want to push it into places. As a halfback, all you just say, hey, listen, you get out wide there, get into that bit of space and I'll find you. Let me look pretty. Let me do all the organisation and I'll make you look good. And the great thing about it is that these young kids are enjoying that responsibility, Mark. They're enjoying that pressure. And it's great to see, and I want to see more of it, because if you put the trust and the confidence in these young kids, they will repay you. And as we say about Jordan Lilly, I said about Jordan Lilly 3 years ago, when I saw him play against New Zealand, even though it was only friendly, but it was still a competitive game, I saw the kid enjoy the responsibility of bossing all these lads about. What's happened since? What's
not
happened since?
He hadn't had a
go,
has he?
Absolutely nothing. Because quite simply, the coach didn't like him. Whether that's some of Jordan's fault as well, what I've heard off the field as well, and I repeat it, you know, about his attitude and all this sort of thing from there. But 3 years ago now, he's lost 3 years. But one thing for sure, in Truman and Woods and Richardson and Harris, and I like Declan Patton as well from there, we have got some quality halfbacks, and I'm delighted that coaches are putting the trust and confidence in these young kids. Great to see.
He's going to be a world beater, isn't he?
And you've got to hope as well that if Todd Carney does come in at Hull KR, that it doesn't disrupt Chris Atkins' progress, who again is another one who is learning how to play week
Phil,
in, week
out
with that
Carney?
Level.
Why do you want
I don't know where they're going to play him. I mean, but what I'm saying is you've just listed a lot of young kids who are making their name at halfbacks. It's something that you've got to learn.
Why can't Atkins learn off Maguire? Maguire's been one of our best halfbacks in the Super League.
That's what I'm saying. That I hope that Carney coming in is not going to disrupt the progress of Chris Atkins, who most weeks has been learning his trade as how to play in Super
League. Absolutely. But yeah, Truman's... And again, it's just from a coach's point of view, he's just putting the trust in from there and go out and do the business, and the kids loving it.
But how good
really
is it? And you'll know this when you've got, you know, he had Junior Moores outside
and
him.
That's and
it. That causes defenders a problem straight away, and it gives him that extra bit of time, doesn't
it? Listen, what that does then, when he gets the ball, right, it puts the defence in free minds.
Yeah.
Do I take the line on? Do I go to the lead runner, the back runner, or do I just tell my big guy, you take the space on there? So he will decide to play the ball. It's like a snooker player. He will decide to play the balls exactly what he's doing. That's a sign of a great halfback from there. But what he does, when he's got the ball in hand, then he's putting the defences in three different minds defence-wise. Great to see. And the point is, coaches are putting the trust in these young lads. The young lads are playing with plenty of confidence, and the senior players are reacting to him. See, there's nothing better. A forward will tell you, there's nothing better than you making them look good. I know for sure the second row player for me at Leeds is Paul Dixon. Dicko, realistic, he wore... He'd run through that brick wall. But I'd say to him, Dicko, you've got a little bit more than that. Run into space and I'll make you look good. Loved it. Absolutely.
Well,
that's what you do with forwards. It was
a bit like watching a quarterback in American football who's got such good blockers in front of him that he'll just wait and go through the hole himself. Mm. I think for him to be so dominant in the second half is down absolutely immeasurably to the skill and the vision that he's got, but also the guys around him who created a perfect platform to him to show what he got.
Yeah. Rich?
We're live on YouTube as well now. So if you've got a smart telly at home, instead of watching, I don't know, Wimbledon, still going on apparently, go to the YouTube app on your telly, search for Proper Spot, you'll see us there. You can watch us live on your 50-inch telly that you've got at home. So, or your 14-inch black and white, if you've managed.
But also, again, when you were talking about the halfbacks, you just mentioned then, you and Josh Woods on Thursday night, and everybody thought when he was going to Sam Tompkins, I would imagine he'd have said, was it Sam Paolo passing from dummy half, was it? And he said, I bet he said to him, give me the ball. Forget about where Tompkins is, because he was in the pocket and he's going to go to Tompkins. I bet he said to him, I want the ball.
Trying to work out, was that a deliberate ploy? Because Tompkins was saying, one more. And the ball went straight towards him and dropped the goal.
You know, my monkey at Leeds, Maskey will tell you, you've got to have a foil from there. Mm. But everybody still, even if you've still got a foil, nobody expected New Woods to get that ball. But I can tell you now, he'd have been saying to Powell, I want the ball. And when I call for it, you give me it. And that's exactly what he did. That's a confidence in the kid. And I'm delighted that Wayne is giving that responsibility. As I say, with other coaches in Holbrook, and as I say, I just wish Dick Patton would get a little bit more of an opportunity, a bit more trust. And certainly the young kid at Truman, brilliant to see. And now, hopefully with all this, when the season finishes, Leeds have survived, they're in the top eight, they get Rob Burrow in, and then the experience of that quality halfback from there will bring the best. If it's not going to be Jordan Lilley, hopefully somebody else is coming through, 18, 19-year-old, get him in, because one thing for sure, they will repay you. Mm. They will repay you.
I think Gav's made a point I wanted to make as well about QLT. I think Cass have started looking more comfortable since he's come in.
Proper fullback.
Round peg, round hole.
Proper fullback.
Yeah.
Proper. You see, also, when we're looking...
Didn't look out of place yesterday.
No,
either,
it was brilliant.
But
again, and the try he scored was actually the one that turned the game.
Proper fullback, as I said, with the spineless side. And when you look at the spineless side now with Leeds, you know, they haven't got it. They haven't got it because the spine of it was Hardacre at fullback, the two halfbacks in Burrow and Maguire and Sinfield. We ain't got that quality.
But you're not going to replace. You're not going to replace that. At some point, that was, you know, we're going to have the same issues when Sean O'Loughlin retires. Obviously, they're going to lose John Bain.
But Lilly was supposed
Mackerel.
To be taking over, Phil, wasn't he? And he's just,
I think Liam Sutcliffe was supposed to be taking over. And, that, and that's another. That'll be really interesting to see how Sinfield works with Sutcliffe.
Correct, absolutely. That's going to be a massive one because now what's going to happen with Liam is it's simple. You've got to decide what position he's going to be and what role is he going to play, because what you need with Liam, because don't get me wrong, he's a quality player.
Oh, the pass he gave to Briscoe for the second try was absolute world class.
Phil, we've seen that in him, but what we need to get from Liam is we need to get that smile back in his face.
Yeah.
We need to get the kid playing with confidence and that vibrancy and bossing people.
Which he was a little bit at the beginning of the season until he got injured.
Go on, let's get some social media.
Just to round up Castleford and Leeds before we move on to everyone else. Castleford 2 beat yesterday, says Connor. Two middles playing in the back row. Leeds can handle their size. Gavin also said it's nice to see Cass starting to hit the form with guys still to come back. Leeds defence wasn't much, but it's nice to see some of last year's attacking shape showing up. Tim was there. The most impressive thing all day he saw was the Leeds player with the spin the pass the ball with aplomb in the PDRL game when you were talking about. Vicky,
I think that's
also
the pass
saying,
I was on about. Yeah.
And here's the key from Vicky. Me, my husband and daughter went to watch the PDRL game at Cass and loved it. Hope they have more games played before the games. It's very important, this is me now, thanks Vicky, that all the other forms of rugby league that aren't the main product are given a chance to showcase themselves on a stage alongside the main program.
Yeah, look, I'm going to be honest now. We wanted to film the ladies' game, but they played it just before the men down at Castle Rugby Union. That was the big disappointment for me yesterday. It should have been a triple header.
Yeah.
Shame that didn't happen, because there would have been a lot of people, milling around after that would have stayed and watched.
You look at the weather conditions nowadays and look at the way it's been. Just make it an event. The rugby league starts at 12 o'clock? And finishes at when Castle Leeds finish at 5 o'clock, half past five,
absolutely,
or whatever. The people would have loved it, because it's all different sort of standards, isn't it?
Yeah.
Different standards.
But it's all good quality.
Yeah.
It's all under the banner of those teams as well. That, you know, you saw the Castleford PDRL team turn out in Castleford shirts.
Yeah, they've got their own strip now, aren't they? Yeah. They had their own strip yesterday.
It's not a concession to some naming right. It's part of the club.
Yeah.
Widnes are having trials this week. I think Hull KR are hoping to get a team on board. The more we have PDRL, the more we have women, the more we've got a three-product event. You want to get people to ground, you want to get different people, new audiences in. You look at the people that go and watch Women's Rugby League. There's a lot of young girls there who are taking parents. Mm. They will, you know, get them there early. Give them something to watch, give them a decent food outlet and something to drink. They will stay all day. And
clubs
will
I watched
will
the
benefit.
Cass women last week against Saints in the Cup. They were at it. I tell you what, that was a rough game. I look forward to watching them two do battle again.
This is what Guy says, make match days full day events.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If you only want to go watch the Super League game, you only have to turn up at 3 o'clock and bugger off at five.
But we're,
stay the whole thing.
We're rugby league
Sell
people.
Beer.
We like value for money. If we can get three things and we're only paying for one, we'll stay around.
More beer, more burgers sold.
There was loads of people, as you say, milling around after the Leeds Cast game had finished it really was a furnace at the Jungle yesterday. They were all still staying by the ice cream vans and the drink outlets. If you'd have put another game on, they'd have had all those drinks and ice creams while watching the women's game.
I think
game.
That's something the
Missed
clubs,
opportunity.
Yeah, and they need to remember it's their, like you said, it's their team that's playing, isn't it? So hopefully that'll get sorted out moving forward anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go on then, Rich.
Semi-finals of the Challenge Cup this weekend and the Shield.
Yeah.
So good luck to all eight teams involved. Andrew says, Gale and Truman in the halves of the Super 8s will be a great pairing. Look forward to see how that goes. Matt says on Leeds, in 2016 they went into the qualifiers on the up. This year, if they end up in the qualifiers, it's on the slide. Terry says, as far as honeymoons go, this is obviously Sir Kevin. He's a scapegoat. It's not a four-star fortnight in the Seychelles, but more like an overnight stay in Cleethorpes bed and breakfast.
And it's raining. It's raining, Terry. That's the problem.
Other bits and pieces as we leave Leeds alone for a bit. Kev, who's always on, talking about dual reg and stuff, he says, poor County Super League and the other two divisions. Only 274 watched Oldham beat West Wales. Oh, by the way, does anyone know if any team has conceded 100 points in more games in a season than West Wales?
I'm not interested.
That must be all.
Not in West
Wales.
I mean, the fact they've conceded all in points.
It seems the childish infighting in the game is turning more and more fans away. The game is doomed.
There were more than 274. I'd say watched Cass women last week at the Rugby Union. There were more than that for the PDRL game yesterday. That was on two hours before the main game. That is a worry, isn't it? 274 at Oldham, and this is what we're saying about clubs that are struggling in the, you know, what point do you say, look, enough could be enough?
Well, at the end of the day, it's simple, and I was saying it last week. The quality's not there, and if the team's not winning, they're not going to come and watch them. And
I'm not sure it's just about winning, though.
Let me reassure you. It's like when you look at the ML Stags at Keighley, 136. London Scholars of Coventry, 160. North Wales, 321. And Oldham, 274. And Workington and Unslet, who were playing pretty well.
Yeah, 601. But Oldham have played winning rugby this year. They're in the playoffs. It's not just about winning rugby, and it's not just about appealing to people to come. You've got to do what York have done. You've got to be innovative in the way that you sell
York
an event.
As well.
Yeah, but they haven't been winning from minute one of the season.
The
very first game they played Bradford and they didn't win, but they got a big crowd because of the way they marketed the game.
Bradford, York in 2 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was thinking about getting executive boxes. I think we might show every day out.
Hold on, save your money. When Bradford played Keighley in August. Have a day out then.
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
That letter in the League Express saying we should all send cheques and money to the clubs that are in trouble at the moment.
I don't know the circumstances at Whitehaven, other than they appealed for money. They thought they had a backer. They don't now have a backer. They're now disappointed that the appeal for money didn't work. That's not really enough, is it? That's not trying to solve your problems yourself. What market research are you doing about why people aren't coming to Whitehaven? Again, it's a team that on the league table could very well be in the playoffs. It's not about what they're doing on the field. What is the demand for rugby league in Whitehaven at the moment? It's not about every time we get into a problem, please can you send us your money? It's not enough anymore.
We'll have to try that, legend.
we'll
put an advert out for some cash. Yeah.
even Workington yesterday, that's a player, the conditioner. Well, there's thousands of rugby league players up in Cumbria. There's thousands playing in Workington. They're in dual reg with three clubs, Wigan, Huddersfield and Lee, and they had to put the conditioner on the bench. It's disgraceful.
Who's
the one, by the way? They're going all right working.
It was a great condition
might be good.
I couldn't care less how good he is, you know.
Who's the conditioner at Workington?
He's not there to be a professional league player for Workington, is he?
Workington's subs are numbered 3, 11, 9 and 17, so he can't have been the conditioner.
He was the conditioner, or the trainer. Whatever terminology you want to put on him.
Which one?
I don't know.
As we're like,
but it was... And it's disgraceful. It is.
We are your fixture guide here at Proper Sport Rugby League programme. Robert wants to know when Leeds are playing Wakefield in PDRL. It's next Friday.
Next Friday before the Widnes home game.
Yeah. Shame it's not this week when they're playing Wakefield, but that's scheduled for you. So get down there and watch it. Enjoy yourself. Guys, there's the amateur
matches. Will you be fit, legend? Is a calf? I was a calf.
Next week the calf's all right now, yeah.
Are you coming back?
Well...
You might not get in, though. Now we've won.
He's heard how many able-bodied players Wakefield might have.
I've done it in my boots. I need another pair of boots.
Oh, sorry. That helped him.
He's not sure he likes the idea of facing Keith Mason.
Yeah. No, he's broke his arm, hasn't he, Keith?
Does he?
Well, I saw some on social media. He fell over, didn't he? He was out yesterday. He's fallen over. He's broken his arm. He won't be playing.
No, he will. He won't be wearing a vest.
Yeah, he can wear it in a sling. That'll be next. People doing that. Oh, no, I'm injuring me. Can't play. I see amateur matches with better crowds, says Guy. Clubs have to make game days better and include more people in the wider event.
Absolutely.
Gavin says these traditional clubs aren't marketing themselves to only please the choir of fans that are already going to be coming. Sport is a business. If you can't understand that, then it doesn't matter how many years the club has been around. They won't survive and aren't owed handouts.
We were at Wakefield on Saturday, and Wakefield had a live band on. Well, if I'm honest with you, nobody would have sit to that live band, would they?
Well, I didn't have any choice. They're on that loud on the PA. I couldn't hear myself.
but nobody were listening to them, were they? They weren't on a pitch or anything.
Were they on before the game or after the game?
Before the game.
What you need is a named band on after the game.
Yeah, but look, I don't think it detracted from the event. You know, I wouldn't say that would be an issue.
No. Slight.
I'm not sure MC is going to spend 40 grand bringing Bon Jovi to Bellevue.
Little Mix at Hull KR at the moment.
Well, they're at Huddersfield on Sunday, aren't they? Which is great scheduling with the World Cup final. I can see loads of dads thinking, oh. I mean, Little Mix have plenty for the dads, it has to be said. But I seem to have forgotten.
You're a Little Mix fan, are you, Rich?
Oh, I love Little Mix, yeah.
Good music.
I prefer Pick and Mix.
We know that, yeah. Oh, my granddaughter loves them, Olivia. She loves them.
But the letter in the League Express saying the rugby league family, which as we know is a spurious and actually not a real concept, should send money in the forms of cheques and postal orders and empty your penny jars to support these clubs who are in crisis. No.
Why are they?
How do you know if they're viable?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. Do the research first and then have a plan to get people to want to invest by either coming or taking some corporate.
I remember,
don't just put out an appeal saying, please send me money.
I remember asking that very question at Bradford.
Absolutely.
Hang on, where's this money going? Where's this money going? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's all gone now. Oh, well, there you go.
There's the league talk picking the bat of the League Express. Now, I'd never heard of this before. I read it this morning, but the charity's been set up in memory of Nick Smith, a former Siddle captain who died last year, aged 38. And the Nick Smith Foundation is pledging to support Rugby League by encouraging young people to join local teams and helping those teams build their junior setups by providing equipment and coaching support. If you think about writing a cheque and sending it to XYZ Professional Rugby League Club who's been badly managed, send it to them instead, or your local whatever charity.
I think the other thing as well about the women's game, and I don't go on about it every week, but it is a very important part of the sport that could change the face of it a little bit, is that a lot of teams are now starting to run under-19s women's teams, and that's going to feed the first team. And I think, if you want to put money into something, put it into grassroots development that is going to feed in to these clubs in the future. That is the way ahead. Don't just spend, fine. If you want to go to the sales and buy everything from the sales, that's fine. But at some point, things will wear out. You need to actually have a plan of where this money is going to.
By the way, of course, we do know someone who talked openly and publicly about wanting to invest money in Rugby League in Cumbria.
Yeah.
And they've gone very quiet.
They've got some good runners for the Chester Cup, man.
But those same rugby league media people who kowtow to him all the time will, conveniently not mention that at the moment.
Okay, fair enough.
They don't get any viewers anyway. Kev says, Fev lost again. That Joe Reg is marvellous for them. I mean, dropping players so the Leeds lads can get a bit of match fitness. He must be great in the dressing room, and Fev fans must love it as well. What a running in the championship for the top four for the qualifiers, which are going to be scrapped at the end of this year if the evil Super League clubs, apart from Leeds, get their way.
But ironic, won't it, if Leeds are hoisted by their own petard?
Possibly.
Gavin on that says, Toulouse, Toronto, Halifax and London for the four, I think, after this weekend. Can't see any of those twos losing another two games to let Lee back in.
What about Fev? He's left Fev out then. Big defeat for them yesterday. Scoring Mark Campbell won't be happy, will he?
Nowhere. And I say again, it was the Scott Morrell show, wasn't it? And
it's you did say it, didn't you?
Scott Morrell 28, Featherston 14. He just rips him apart every time he plays against him. But I like Richard Marshall's to his comments after the game. And he plays the game in the right way and gets a response from his players. An up and coming coach. And I'm very, very, very satisfied with Halifax, the way that they're run. And I say if they're getting that top four, then I think they'll give it a shake up. There's no two ways about it. Impressed he's on Featherston.
Have one rugby. That is the biggest game of the season so far at Halifax. That had the most riding on it more than any other game. It's a rivalry that's got some history behind it recently. Is 2,300 people there enough?
I don't know. It's a tough crowd. I think that's a reasonable crowd, isn't it?
I'm just asking,
I think when they played Halifax last year, the last game, we were there, I think there was 1,800 there. That's also, there's 500 extra, so...
Another big game in the championship this week, London-Halifax.
Massive.
Halifax's big problem might be their points difference or lack of it. I think that might
be what does
them. But
I reckon if Halifax win that, it virtually knocks London out.
But if London win, they go above Halifax.
Yeah, and it keeps Lee in the race.
And you look at Lee's last three fixtures.
Lee will probably win their last three fixtures, but they're still reliant on the teams above them losing.
And their points difference, Lee's is not the greatest. They might need to rack up some big scores in the next 3 weeks.
Which they probably will. I mean,
as we say, pressure is on Featherston. They're the team that's under pressure.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because Mark Campbell wanted a team that's good to watch. He needs a team that gets in the four, mate.
That's what he needs. If they don't get in the four, Mark would be the same as Mr. Beaumont. He might say, I can't survive on 250 grand with the players'
and
wages, what they've been on.
That's the irony when John Sharp was released, that John Sharp got them in the top four.
Exactly.
John Sharp
got them to be
the best part-time team that there was in that division, which guarantees the money to come in the following year, which means you can buy the players that you want to buy. If you play lovely rugby, don't get the four, don't have the finance, then will you ever get back in the four? Because you can't buy the players that you need.
Mary says,
which is one of the flaws in the eights, by the way.
Mary says, Feather missing Tom Holmes at the moment.
And Ridyard as well. Ridyard's out for the season.
the YouTube chat is alight with Marching On Together and Loch Lane arguing about Leeds being relegated and whether the sport would survive. So get involved there. Ernest Jones says, how good was the Tom Johnston try on Saturday against Catalan?
I said, Ernest, it was the best try I have ever seen live, because it was just so unbelievable. We were like,
vision
of
Liam
Finn. Hell have they done that?
It was ridiculous, wasn't it? You know, and well, the question
for people that don't know, basically, yeah. Catalan's a hooter had gone. They're 22-6 up going into half time. They've got a penalty 2 metres inside their own half. They kick into touch, it's half time. He has a shot at goal, and it was one of them when he was lining up, you just thought, he's not going to kick this. But he kicked it and Finn was stood at the bottom of the post. Finn catches it, sprints up to the 20-yard line, chips it out to the wing. Johnson, off like a whippet, gets a perfect bounce. Gone. Absolute gone. Momentum. Almost turned the game Wakey's fit. But in terms of a I thought, I can't believe I've just seen that. What a great bit of skill.
Well, we was at the commentary when Todd Johnson scored that try two or three years ago now at Huddersfield, and I reckon that's the best try I've ever seen at Bellevue. Well, that on Saturday beats it.
Yeah,
it does, because of the vision what Finney did from there. And Mark mentioned it in commentary that he was a planned move. You know, it happened from there, but McNamara would have been absolutely fuming, because what it did, it changed the talk for both the coaches. Chester said, right, we've got ourselves back into this game now.
Well, Macca, we got back within four, didn't they, fairness?
Absolutely. You know, the first 15 minutes of the second half, they were brilliant, but I'll go on about him in a minute, and Greg Bird, but the centres and the winger from the Catalans, not even just chasing up from the kick and what have you, but brilliant play from Finney and Johnson. Well, he's got to be, for me, is he the quickest man in Super League? He can't be far off.
Well,
I've
read this week, Wakefield fans who love me, because...
But I was speaking to a couple on Saturday. You're hating more way than what I am.
Oh, apart from the drunk fella I met on the bus the other day, he was a fan.
he thought you were scoring.
There might be a key there.
There was a discussion on Facebook about how Tom Johnston is A, overrated. These are the same people, of course, would call him Judas if he went to Leeds. And B, not the player he was before the injury. I don't think he's lost a step, has he?
No, nowhere. No, not for what I saw on Saturday. But as I say, that try changed the talk of the coaches. And Wakefield, for the first 15 minutes of the second half, got themselves back into the game. They were quality. But I said to Mark as well, I said, you know what, Macca, he's got to get Greg Burr back onto this field. And boy, oh boy, what a player he is. I've always admired him. I've always liked him. I've seen him play in Australia, in New South Wales and Australia. But, on Saturday, when he came back on, him and McAlorum, just absolutely sensational. A total warrior, but he's got class about him. And when he's disciplined, I tell you what, he can play rugby league. And he was just a leader.
Disciplined and fit.
Yeah, but everybody responded to him, round him, and off the bench and all, Kenny Edwards. What an impact he has made from there. Drinkwater's taking charge. And another point of view from the halfback, and Drinkwater said it in League Express today, Mark, we've been talking about halfbacks. He's like, I'm loving playing for McNamara, because he's letting me play how I want to play. He's letting me play without vision and awareness. Letting me play and let me take control. Well done, Macca. When you saw him after the game, he's got that smile on his face now.
Well, his team are flying.
Absolutely.
Absolutely flying.
He's getting the best out of his players. And they had a pleasure to watch. And one thing for sure here now, St. Helens fans, when the draw was made for the Challenge Cup, was that around about 4 weeks ago? Even us said, it's Saints, and who's it going to be? Warrington or Leeds. Catalan Dragons now, what they were thinking of, We're on a roll. And one thing for sure, come the 5th of August, that roll will be literally ready to making sure that is rolling, because the way the Catalan Dragons are playing, because what they will do, they will make sure they don't get the quick play of the balls and make sure Roby's not scuttering about from there.
Keep the ball away from Ben Barber.
Oh, of course they will. The tactical kicking...
Well, even when they lost at Saints about 6 weeks ago...
They didn't get bad.
But there were a lot of bumps and bruised St. Helens players. Yeah, they'll make it a war.
But Drinkwater, certainly with his kicking game, he'll be a varied kicking game, but the quality of what they've got in attack, and they've got some pace on the wings and in the centres of Catalan.
I was going to say...
They could be upsetting that challenge.
Quite rightly, Johnson's try is the highlight of the week, never mind that game. But Willie Armis' try wasn't bad either, with Yaha kicking back in field for him.
Oh,
you know, on any other day, you'd have been going, what a try, but it got lost in the fact that, obviously.
But also as well, Catalans, they're in the top eight. Wakefield, I'll tell you, would we have been 6 weeks ago, we're talking about Leeds, and now even Wakefield. 6 weeks ago, we wouldn't have even contemplated Leeds or Wakefield.
No, Huddersfield turnaround.
Being anywhere near the bottom four now.
Wakefield
Leeds
will be safe, though,
four.
If they win on Friday. That's how they've got to look at it.
So, that is Wakefield's motivation, isn't it?
Mm.
Big Yorkshire side, big Yorkshire rivals, big City club. That is the players, Wakefield's players' motivation. Now, Kevin Sinfield or James Laws, whoever's doing the bloody coaching at Leeds, quite simply, don't need any motivation. Wakefield are coming to town. Let's make sure we want to put them in the bottom four. Simple as that.
Drink water to Wakefield.
What's happening?
Being rumoured on the basis of the fact that Drinkwater isn't yet signed for next year.
Why would he want to leave Catalan? By all accounts, he's loving it. He's got a lovely
He's only signed to the end of the season.
Yeah, yeah, but Mac is getting the best out of him, and you know, he's loving it on the beach.
They might have their eyes on someone else, Gary. You don't know, do you?
Got a Pugnace, there's some sand there.
I'll tell you what, he's a far better player than what he was down at London Broncos. And at Lee, he were rubbish. He were garbage. I could have played better than him for Lee, if I'm honest
and
with you.
And that might have something to do with the protection he's getting from some fantastic forwards who are in form.
Yeah,
at the
but
moment.
Also as well, though, Phil.
And
he's
that comes from
McAllor.
But
Phil, the coach is letting him play.
To play on.
Yeah, but the coach is. Hey, Phil, you know, when I was at Leeds, the pack of forwards I played were useless. Yeah, I got battered every week.
And
but still, you're allowed to express yourself.
Exactly, but you can't do it on your own. You can't win games on your own. You have to play on the back of people giving you the stage to show your talent. And Drinkwater has had not only McAlorum fit and back in form, so in front of him he's dictating the play as well, allowing Drinkwater to decide when he wants to come in.
Yeah, but when was it Lee? He had a pack of forwards at Leeds and dominated, but he wasn't allowed to express himself.
Four guys are coming off the bench at the moment for Catalan who are all big forwards. The intensity for the opposition never lessens. And Edwards has been a fabulous signing for him.
Who come off the bench and all Busquets, Matt
Busquets, yeah. He's got a great offload
boy,
in him as well.
Boy, oh boy, and how big is he? I'll tell you what.
And they've re-signed Mikhail Simon, so there is a French flavour to what they're doing. And
tell you, they are on form, and one thing for sure, that semi-final on the 5th of August now is not a shoo-in. Not a shoo-in for St Helens.
They also have got a big game coming up against Warrington this week.
They'll fancy it.
But historically, it's when they've travelled over here and played the teams in the top four. They've never really done themselves justice. They're in form. Was it 7 out of 9? They need to take a scalp. And they'll want to in the lead-up to this semi-final. It could be an interesting game on Thursday.
I think Catalans will win.
Yeah, you won't rule it out. The weather's staying the same. They're loving it. They're loving it.
Interesting.
Really great. But Wakefield, sure right.
Yep.
Wakefield, sure right. Yep. You're in the mix. You're in the mix, son. Yep. Don't worry about that.
Andrew says.
You don't agree with that?
Well, yeah, we are in the mix. Fingers crossed. I'm going to tip Leeds anyway later because I need some reverse psychology. and if Wakefield do win. Andrew says, Wakefield in crisis. This guy's only sulking because he didn't get a bread cake at Bellevue on Saturday. I saw a tweet from Matt Shaw. Don't know what he does. And he said that you'd had two plates of chips.
Well, do you know what?
Is that typical BBC bias?
No, well, do you know what? Let me just put the story right here.
He had three plates.
Let me put the story right. Matt Shaw, you know, the smart so-and-so that he thinks he's right. The box of chips came out.
He sure finished at 7, no, so he'll be listening.
The box of chips came out from there, and he went walking off for about 5 minutes, and by the time he came back, they'd all gone. So I was eating my chips on there, and the other plate of chips, I can reassure you, for my mucker.
I had one plate of chips,
a plate of chips from your mucker. Actually, I was going to take another plate out for Peter Smith as well, but there were none left. So there you go, Matt Shaw. I had one plate of chips, one for Mark Wilson. It was your own fault that you went somewhere else thinking you were the dog's knees and what have you, and that's why you missed out on the chips. Tough.
Radio Leeds lying to us.
Tough.
Disgrace.
But the other plate of chips were for my mucker, Mark Wilson. There you go.
Thank you, Andrew, for that. That set that off.
Yeah. There you go.
Mary says, Catalans will challenge hard for everything. She wants to see him at Wembley as well. He could be there.
I want to see their face on the officials at the RFL if they get to Wembley. How white they go.
Would you like to win some tickets? We've got 100 to give away. Why Andy's asking me a question? I'm the least connected man in rugby league, but he says, where is Fifita going next season? Nando's, probably.
He's under contract, isn't he?
In the same way that Mitch Garber is.
Don't want to know where Kyle Eastman's going. Who cares?
I'm not sure he'll be coming back now. I think Blake Austin might be a Warrington player by Wednesday.
Don't see Chris Ashton's got the sale because they need loads of wingers who used to play rugby league.
By the way, what a game that was in the NRL on Saturday.
Melbourne and
Canberra.
Canberra.
14 points behind with 5 minutes left and they won. And that was
Blake Austin coming
inspired.
Off the bench.
Yeah, it was.
He brings some baggage, but he can play.
Yeah, he can.
If you remember, he was one of the names when we were talking about England-eligible players when Wayne Bennett took the job that can play for England.
For all the people tweeting, messaging, you're banned.
This is not the BBC. We're not.
What's your favourite sweets? Don't bother.
Neil said, well, let's talk about Canada because that riles people up. We don't even mention it and people are already upset on the comments. Neil says, in the eights, say a club can't get a full first team to Canada due to problems with entry visas. What would happen? Would the RFL have any legal stance to enforce the fixture or help with visas? Championship clubs have struggled with this and fielded 14.
We asked this last week, didn't we?
There's another interesting side issue here. I don't know if I'm allowed to say there's a new issue of 40-20 out at the end of this week, but in there...
Well, no, you're not, but I won't mention it.
You'll get them like you always do. But in that, we have a Championship correspondent who is Liam Claffey, who's the general manager of Sheffield. He gives a take on not only what the Eagles are doing, but the division as a whole. The Eagles have just gone to Canada this week, and one of the things that he said has not been too much of an issue for them, but will be in the qualifiers... is that you normally when you go to Toulouse, it's done by an independent travel agent. So you liaise with the travel agent, you tell them the people that are going, and they fix up all the paperwork. When you go to Toronto, it's all done by the Wolfpack.
Right.
So you have to give them the names of the people that are going a week before.
Right.
I can't see Super League clubs wanting to divulge to Toronto when they're in the middle eights who is going to be playing for them.
Well, wouldn't you just say, here's a 30-man squad, they're all coming.
But you know who isn't coming, and you know who is coming.
If you give them all 30.
But I don't think it works like that, because they book the travel. So it gets to the point where a week before, you've got to tell them who is going to be on the plane. I'm not sure that a lot of Super League clubs that are in the bottom four mix that have to go to Toronto will want to divulge a week before they go there who their squad's going to be.
By the way, Blake Austin has signed for Warrington.
Has actually signed.
We are told.
Good signing.
I'm sure if Rich gets on Twitter, he'll find
good. That mole's good, isn't he, in Australia? He knows all these things. Tweeted on Saturday.
He's a good player. He's got some baggage, and they'll need to obviously...
Well, what's he done off the field? What baggage has he got then?
He's had some mental health issues.
Oh, is he? All right. Okay. He can play.
But he was in demand. He will be the marquee replacement for... Tyrone Roberts.
Why can't we get him at Leeds then? Why can't we get players like that?
You're signing Lallier then, obviously.
Who?
Is it Lallier?
Lallier.
Who's he?
Well, he's playing for Leeds next year.
Where's he from?
Watch his space.
Tongan standoff.
Is he any good?
He can play.
I did enjoy the story in the Aussie Press, which I think Steve Mascord tweeted about 3 in the morning on Saturday, because I'd just finished work, about... Cameron Smith has fallen out with
Cooper Cronk
and the really good player, what's he called? Australian Slater. Fullback. Billy Slater.
Cameron Smith's fallen out with them too?
Yeah, because their wives have all fallen out and they've all fallen out with each other. It's in the Australian papers.
Well, Billy's been on today saying he's fine with both Cooper Cronk and Cameron Smith, but he wouldn't be drawn on whether the other two were still friendly with each other.
But we need more drama.
Well, they didn't check hands, did they, at the end of the game the other week? They refused to check hands, didn't they?
Slater for Toronto when they get into Super League.
We're all excited by the Wolfpack because they won the League Leaders Hubcap, which I believe was the same one. I don't want to steal Phil Sunday because he said it on the last tackle, but I believe it's the same one that Hakan Maloudi won on Thursday.
We bought a job lot down the market of silver tea trays. If you're going to give an award for a team that consistently has finished top of the league, give them a trophy or a huge shield. Mm. Name it after somebody. The pictures of Ashton Sims virtually picking up an ashtray is ridiculous.
It's rubbish, isn't it?
You know, it's a frisbee, isn't it? It's not something... you're trying to sell to the American press the idea that your team has won something major. It's not quite the J.J. Gilton and shield, is it?
No.
It takes three people to carry around the ground.
Mm. Down in the basement at the RFL where all the trophies are, there's some kind
give
of...
Give
like,
them the Captain Morgan's trophy.
Chief Executive's ashtrays.
Yeah, but give them something meaningful, for goodness sake.
How the hell did Hakan Maloudi get in the running for the man of the match? Who was the legend?
It wasn't him.
Is it at Magic Weekend? Sky told us who the legends were that were picking the man out, but they've never done that any other week.
I don't know.
Out the person who chose Hakan Maloudi.
Yeah.
Lee Radford's comments, very good.
No, you're brilliant.
If you were picking one Hull player, you wouldn't have picked him anywhere. I don't know who you'd have picked necessarily, but you wouldn't have picked him.
No. He was awful.
I'll tell you what, you'd have picked me mother before him, I can reassure you. Don't worry about that. It was absolutely dreadful.
I thought the tackling was good, actually.
It was absolutely dreadful. And to be honest with you, the whole performance as a whole wasn't much better. Take nothing away from Huddersfield. Huddersfield were good. Yeah. But look at the way Hull played, certainly in that first 40 minutes. It was like watching Wigan 4 years ago, you know, but Wigan destroyed defences by the block runners because they got the timing right and they were pretty good at it. But Hull were absolutely awful. And again, when you talk about the halfbacks, the combination between Kelly and Connor is not going to work because they're not taking the roles on collectively. And for Jake Connor, what Jake's got to realise is he's got to be a team player, and secondly, he's got to realise you're allowed to get tackled without getting upset about it.
Yeah. Shout out as well for Danny Bruff. I thought he had a good game the other night.
Is that Simon Woolford putting his arm round him and realising that if he is looked after, he can do a job for him?
Well, I think it's all about Bruff himself, isn't it? You know, and I think he knew he got three matches, let the side down again from there. But just going on about Hull from a point of view, they were absolutely awful. The press is back on them now because of the top four. Cass winning, that makes it 5 points. And also as well, Max, I've said it on the last tackle, I think Hull, you know we're going out of the Challenge Cup, and the excuse is what they made, we didn't get to the Grand Final because, you know, it's the pressure on from there. Well, I'll tell you why they didn't get to the Grand Final. They were open for 40 minutes in both the semi-finals.
Yeah, they were, yeah. They turned up at half-time. Yeah,
exactly, you know, so you can't afford to do that, certainly against the quality lead side. But also, as well from there, I think what the Hull players have done, they've been told, yeah, this time now, you're out of the Challenge Cup, you've got weekends off, you'll make the top four. I reckon they believe in their own publicity, that they're a good side. At this moment in time, they are not a good side. And on Thursday night, he just showed, and totally honest again from Radders, which is, he wasn't happy with that performance, and he will be ripping in all this week because he needs a response. You look at their fixture list, what they've got. They've got St Helens this week, they've got Wakefield, and then they've got Ulkisser Rovers, so they're no gimmies without a shadow of a doubt. So the pressure's on the Hull players, but again, from Huddersfield, they were outstanding. Bruffy on Thursday night, it proved to me again, I think it proved to everybody, when he's on, he's the best scrum half in Super League. When he's on, his organisation, his communication, his kicking game, his tactical kicking, his goal kicking, when he's on, I thought Gaskell was outstanding. I've been pretty critical of Gaskell, of the Rugby League player, what he's come. But the coach himself again, Phil, letting him play a little bit, express himself, down on McIntosh, was quality. You always get the same from McGilvery. But
I thought
Wardle
gave him a nice couple of passes for the tries.
Yeah. They say Wardle's a nice player as well. But overall, the Giants, you know, it's they've got that smile on their face.
The only worry for the Giants would be a Kumatai's ban this week. And we don't yet know Ikehifo's injury, but it didn't look great when he went off. If you're Lee Radford, you just can't wait for Jamie Shaw to come back at the back, but also Mark Snead. You can't. You talk about balance between halfbacks.
Well, they play off the back of Mark Snead kicking game, don't they?
Connor and Kelly didn't work because they're both trying to do the same thing. They desperately need the structure that Mark Snead gives them.
They could be out of it by then.
Mm. Oh, yeah, well, the 5 points
could be out of it.
History says that even though we're in the fourth year and possibly the last one of the eight, only once has a team ever got into the top four when there's been the split, and that was a pretty exceptional St Helens team under Justin Holbrook last year, who just changed everything about the way they played and they responded. I reckon if Hull go into the eight, maybe 4 points behind Warrington, they're not going to catch that up.
But Steenie's out still for a while now. But what Connor and Albert Kelly's got to realise is one of them has got to be the main organiser. They've got to take that role on, but they're not doing it.
No,
they're not doing it.
But it's not natural to them.
Should Catalans beat Warrington on Thursday, they'd only be six off. Could they do it?
Who's their last two fixtures against Catalans?
Salford and Wigan. And that Wigan game before the semi-final.
I think their eye is on preserving their Super League status so they know they can start to recruit for next year, which they'll probably do in the next couple of games, and then sole focus on that semi-final. I don't think they know with the start that they had to this season. The other thing is that everybody plays everybody else in the eights above them, so there's going to be people picking up points every week. That's hard to claw back. They need to secure their status, which they can do, and then everything tipped into that semi-final.
What do you reckon? Do you reckon Catalans can beat Saints? I do, the way they're playing.
Yeah, no, I think they will. I think they will.
I do. I think they can beat them.
I think they can. I think, again, they've got such a settled team at the moment, you would hope that they're not going to be disrupted by injury.
You could say that about Saints.
But I reckon that Saints will be defeated at some stage, and who knows if it's going to be that semi-final.
I want to just talk about, I thought the Wigan Warrington was a quality game, but I just want to just talk about Sean Wayne and what a mess Lenigan has made day by letting Wayne go by the interference, because when you saw Sean for the game on telly there, and his expression and his passion.
I saw his expression when Charnley scored.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's what he is. Yeah. He plays the game. He makes every tackle. He makes every pass. He misses every tackle. We know what Sean's all about. But then after the game, you know, you could see the enthusiasm. And again, what he's stressing is about getting the best out of his players week in and week out. The Wigan juniors who are coming through. The juniors that he wants to see putting that red and white jersey on. The Chilean white jersey from there. And I'm thinking to myself, Lenigan, are you not watching this? Why are you letting this man go? Why have you been an idiot? Why have you been an idiot by interfering? And Sean's found out what you've done behind his back and he's had enough. And when you saw the lads' passion there on Friday night, about the win, what that side got for him, and how much it means to him, that club, I find it absolutely laughable that a club at the size of Wigan is simply letting one of our biggest characters, and by the way, in the Super League era, one of the best coaches, letting him go. I just don't understand it, Mark.
Thought there was a nice embrace between him and Price at the end of the game.
Brilliant.
As well. That was good to see. That was good to see.
Yeah, and I think to myself, Lenigan, why have you done this?
But more than anything, it's just a big loss to the sport.
It is huge.
We need
He'll be back, Phil.
Of course he'll be back.
Come on,
he'll be back.
But once Sinfield's done his coaching review at Leeds, he won't be going there.
It's a shame, though, that somebody who is so passionate about the sport,
correct,
linked to the club that obviously has a 30-year association with, is going to be lost to the sport. I don't know Sean Wayne well enough to even ask him. I'm sure he will relish the challenge of Scotland Rugby Union. And
Sean,
I know
he likes
Scotland. He takes
Phil,
his dogs walking in Scotland.
Yeah, but Phil,
but
seen
his
the passion,
heart's in rugby
but,
league.
Yeah, but you've seen the passion. If you could, I were there and watched him. I think I were like that. Lenigan, what are you doing? Lenigan, what are you doing letting this man go? What are you letting him go for? Because he's doing a great job at Wigan, even though he doesn't speak to him anymore. We've fallen out a little bit, but from a point of view,
we've fallen out with you.
But the point is, what I'm saying is, Lenigan, what are you doing letting this man go when all he wants to do, the challenge for Sean is, and he loves that challenge, is simple. I want Wigan to finish the top. I want Wigan to win the grand final. I want Wigan to win the Challenge Cup. That is his challenge year in and year out, and he's leaving because of his interference.
It'd be interesting, his press conference, should they win, because last year, or when they won it last, he had a pop at the people that had been writing him off all year. I wonder what he'll say, should he win it and go out.
I reckon there'll be some explosive coming from
Wayne. Yeah, I agree with that.
I do, without a doubt. And rightly so, to be honest with you, Mark.
But Andy's got his comments, said that, what did he say, Wayne was told to resign end of the season.
And the last season, or this season?
This season.
He was told to resign?
That's Andy, I don't know, if, you know.
Still, the broadcasting highlight of the year was in another place, in another time, when Sean Wayne was a guest on the line and may not have expected the voice of Gary Schofield to ask him a question.
the longest pause ever. Yeah. It was one of them where I thought, you're just going to hear a...
Is that him speaking to me?
He answered your question.
Listen, I plenty of respect for Wayne, simple as that.
Yeah,
both as a person and as a rugby man, without a shadow of a doubt.
Tom wanted us to get ripped into Hull. Well, it's great to get ripped into Hull. We need it against St Helens on Friday. Players like Logan, Downs, Green and Washburn, we're not good enough as for people voting for Maloudi. They need to take their black and white tinted glasses off. I'm a Hull FC fan and know we have injuries, but so do 8 other teams. The attitude was atrocious on Thursday and don't deserve to be in the top 4. I'm sure it was Hull KR fans voting, just to annoy people.
It's interesting, isn't it, that Daryl Powell used Hull as an example about a month ago when they lost to Saints. He said, I'll watch Hull and they show balls and spirit. They've got injuries, they're not using them as an excuse. And all of a sudden, Cass have kicked on and Hull have gone backwards, haven't they? Just shows you, doesn't it?
I'll tell you, as I said earlier, Mark, I reckon Hull, the players are believing their own publicity. Oh, yeah, now we're out of the Challenge Cup. We're going to have a couple of weeks off. You know, we'll be all right. We'll sail it top 4. I'm afraid to say it's hard work.
They need to start winning.
But you look at the running. You know, they've got... Is it St Helens at home or away this week?
At home.
So they've got home, so that's... Well...
But lost to Wigan at home the other week, didn't they?
Exactly. And then they've got Wakefield away, which Wakefield, they don't want to finish in the bottom 4. And then the big derby. Where's the derby at? Is it KCOM or is it the Red and Whites?
Don't know.
But there's no showings, is there?
No.
There's none, because there's purpose in every game, what they're looking to play.
We haven't mentioned Salford yet.
Do we have to?
Well...
Gemma Carter, by the way, and she was giving me a bit of stick at Huddersfield with Gemma Carter. As I said to you, Salford are rubbish and I'm not changing my mind.
I noticed you tweeted out...
Are they in real crisis? I mean, I know we talk about clubs that are in crisis.
I just want to pick on Richard a second before you go on, because Richard tweeted about Wakefield lost to Salford. Yeah. I still can't believe that result. No, no. I cannot believe Wakefield lost.
After the beat St Helens a week before.
38-4.
They're useless.
But after the beat St Helens as well.
At least, you see, Wakefield lost to a good Catlands team on Saturday. You say, well, the best team won.
Correct.
Well, Huddersfield beat Hull. The Hull fans can say, well, the best team won. Software weren't even that great, were they?
No, they weren't. They're running out of bodies, aren't they? They're running out of bodies. That's
just the wrong time.
Yeah.
I mean, we said at the beginning of the season that the worry we had was the same one from the previous year when they started the season so well. If you don't have a big squad, it'll hurt you.
Yeah.
And they didn't do anything about it over the close season because of all the whatever was going on with the change of ownership. They look to me like a team that are really going to struggle at the moment, purely just getting a side out.
Yeah. I know Peter said Salford went from a good performance at Warrington to a pathetic shambles in the space of a week. God help us. I watched the game against Warrington and I called Salford heroic because their effort was heroic.
But how much did that take out of them?
But also, on another day, Warrington would have got 50 points and you wouldn't have gone away thinking, Salford didn't deserve that. They just bombed a few tries.
What can they change? That's
nothing.
The question.
They haven't got any money.
Well, that's the problem.
We spoke to the guy that's running the club, right, and his plans were great for 5 years' time.
Yeah.
They need to know now. They're going. I said at the start of the year, I thought two would drop out. And Salford, of my favourites to go, I think Widnes might at least have a bit of resolve in him. And Widnes, their future might depend on how the games fall.
Yes.
Where they've got to go and who they've got to go away to. But I just, Salford, I can't have them.
Witness
I can't
have
them.
More time to prepare, haven't they? Knowing
whereas Salford are still trying to stay alive.
But what I'm saying is Salford cannot change the slide. There isn't a player that they're waiting to come back that's going to materially turn that around.
They're going to have to get rid of some to try and get some in. That's what they're going to have to do.
Or they're going to have to go with what they've currently got, which clearly is not helping.
I'm guessing Chris is a Hull KR fan because he says the Hull derby is at Hull City's ground.
Okay.
I like Derek here, who's from Afghanistan. Oh, he's in
Afghanistan. Hello, Derek. Are they letting you wear shorts yet, Derek?
Stay safe, Derek.
I think this has been a big ruse, and he's not really in Afghanistan. He's somewhere in Leeds, North Leeds to be specific, because he asked this question. Was there a big amateur cup final at Featherstone's ground? What was the crowd and score? I think that's a leading question, Phil Kaplan.
There were four cup finals at Featherstone of varying age groups. I can speak about the last one of those.
Go on then. Go on.
That was at under 15 level.
Right.
It was an absolutely fantastic game. And I have to pay credit to both of the teams who turned in a wonderful spectacle. Hugely enjoyable. The kids on both sides loved playing at a professional ground, which surely, again, is what we're all about when we're talking about finals. You know, full credit to Featherstone for opening the grounds. I don't know how many people were there, but I think the ice cream seller sold out. It was great just to see smiles on faces, competitive rugby league at that level, great skills. I think the final game ended up North Leeds Leopards 26, Milford Marlins 14. I'm not sure, but I think that was the score. There were people in the stand singing, "A leopard is better than a fish." And everybody enjoyed it.
On what basis?
Because the Leopards beat the Marlins.
Hmm.
But it's
you
more about
a leopard with your chips, though.
It's
you,
more
Scott?
About the experience, I think. But
will eat all from Belisle. Hey, by the way,
hold on, let him finish. Let him finish.
No, I'm just saying it was.
But also
the only thing that there's one thing missing. There should have been a star name giving out the medals to the kids. The under 15s game was in the name of Evan Hawksworth, and his parents were there, which was lovely because, you know, they got the chance to give out a trophy in their son's name. Fantastic. But it would have looked great on the pitches and would have been fantastic for both sets of lads who all got a commemorative keepsake if, say, Earl Crabtree had been there as well to give it out.
What about Kevin Sinfield? He works for the RFL.
I think he was busy that day at training, but it would have been.
He's not the coach.
Paul Sculthorpe.
He was at training. I didn't say he was doing it.
Lawsy could have gone.
But it would have been nice for the kids if a Gary Schofield had been there to give them their trophy.
That would have been delightful.
Why?
Yeah.
What? Just so Gary could look at a trophy?
Be,
or what?
A bit harsh, is
it? You normally just had to walk past him, didn't you?
By the way, something good's come out of Belisle. Who's in charge of Leeds Rhinos? James Laws. He's a Belisle lad. Don't worry about that. Plenty of goodness comes out of Belisle. Laws is the main man at Leeds. There you go.
I've been told, because I'm wearing...
Thank you, Derek, by the way.
I'm wearing a fantastic Bronte Barbarians polo shirt today. It's got my initials on and everything. Like I've got a job.
Are you a barbarian?
I am.
That's why he hasn't shaved this week.
Wakefield, isn't it? It's what we like. It's like Belle Isle, but slightly more cultured, Wakefield.
It's a bit harsh.
On Wakefield, yes, it is. they said...
we've got a museum in Wakefield. What have you got in Belle Isle?
We've got a museum. We've got, like...
We got a museum?
We've got a gallery.
Yeah, we've got a theatre.
There's everything in Belle Isle.
Anyway, we're going to have two theatres soon. One's, like, the big theatre, and the room next door is going to be named after Sir Rodney Walker.
What, the Sir Rodney Walker Megadon?
Yeah, I should say... Sir Rodney... By the way, it's been nice.
He gets everywhere. Oh, no. It's been good
nice,
bloke, actually.
It's been nice to see my.
Not if you're on Wakefield.
It's been nice to see my MP on the telly all the time recently because she's a big Brexit fan. Get the bloody stadium sorted. Stop singing, faffing around. Sick of it.
Has she resigned?
Not yet. No, she'll be in the next cabinet when somebody else takes over. Bozza, probably. So, if you're a junior player and you want to play rugby league in Normanton and Castleford, at Bronte Barbarian, no S, Twitter.
All right.
That's that done. Ian likes the shirt anyway.
Good.
Speaking of man of the match.
That's normal because you wear some horrendous things. Yeah. But
Dawn and Tommy asked, how did Gabe Hamlin not get into the top four for man of the match on Friday?
What about Gabe Hamlin getting smashed by Chris Hill on the deck? No, that was poor. That.
Elbow
really
twice.
Poor.
Twice,
from
by
Hill.
The way.
Do you think Hill has been told to up his aggression?
I agree. Just told to get a little bit more nasty than what I mean. But I tell you what, as well, one thing could be Warrington's demise could be they've got a goal kicker.
Yeah.
Haven't got a goal,
goal
kicker.
Kicks, didn't they, the
is
weekend?
That dangerous contact by Chris Hill? Should he not have been part of the disciplinary?
Well, you would have thought so. Would have thought so.
Because again, it's a game that has been seen by a big audience.
Yeah. I like Hamlin. I think he's good.
Oh, good play. He's like English, isn't he, at Huddersfield? Mm. Yeah. He gets stuck in, get ripped in. When he would love him, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He's sort of player.
He would have done if he'd been there next year, yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Everyone's liking Warrington have announced Blake Austin by doing a fake WhatsApp video. Everyone's liking that. Something outside the box rather than just sending out a crap press release.
But also as well, it's just been announced as well that Bateman's leaving Wigan as well, which we knew was going to happen. It's another major player from Wigan. Who's leaving?
Wigan are a selling club. I've told you this before. They get anyone that's good, they're selling.
Are they skin then, Wigan?
Well, Mr. Lennigan, obviously, he's putting money into the club.
But he's
getting it back by selling all the best players. If you can't afford to run it or you don't want to put the money in, just be a middle of the table club, Ian. You don't have to be the best team. Or if you want the best team, stop moaning about it and put the money in. Shut up. What do you reckon?
Another club we're not invited to.
What are we talking about? People being smashed. Tyler says, what about Singleton getting smashed by Mitch Clark? More to the point, him and Truman outstanding. Terry also said, what did you think about another youngster, Mitch Clark, off the Tigers bench? I've never seen a forward with such dynamism. He's a cross between Adam Milner and Jesse Senilefau.
Where's he come from, Mitch Clark?
Trevor's son.
He was at Bradford, then he went to Hull KR, and now he's at Cass.
Trevor Clark's son.
He was useless at Bradford.
That's a bit harsh.
Whoever time I saw him play at Bradford, he was useless.
Who was?
Mitch Clark.
Well, maybe he was learning his trade.
I think you might have been a bit harsh.
Mark, and I was Bradford
a few
times.
I'll tell you what, he wasn't useless yesterday.
Well,
he was one of the best forwards on the field.
I'll tell you what, he must have improved because every time I was at Bradford, I couldn't get in car park. Sometimes I'm not going to do the commentary, don't worry about that. That's stupid at Bradford. But every time I saw Mitch Clark play for the Bulls, he was absolutely useless. So is that the same Mitch Clark who got Mitch
in? I think you only watched him about four times. I think you've been a bit harsh there.
Well, I think four times is enough to give me an impression that you weren't very good.
You told me when I did a commentary that Joe Keyes was useless, and then you saw him the other week and you said, oh, he's like the best halfback, Leeds should sign him.
Bradford was probably
you're a bit hit and miss on your
no
your
I don't
predictions.
Think so I don't
no,
think
I do.
No, no,
he was outstanding yesterday.
I'm not saying he's not, but when I saw him play for the Bulls, he was useless.
Probably weren't getting paid.
I saw him play, you see, I guess I'd change my mind, but
honestly,
Blake Austin. He is ostensibly a number six. Tyrone Roberts, who's going, is a number seven. Do we think that Kevin Brown will be playing for Warren? I know he said in the paper that he wants to play him for another year. And if he isn't, is it going to be Patton and Blake? Or is it going to be Morgan Smith, who won a very important game for Rochdale yesterday? And they had great hopes of Morgan Smith when they signed him.
Kevin Brown. We said on the show that he needed to change the way he played because he was getting smashed too often. He was getting a lot of head knocks. He's gone too far the other way. It's almost like he doesn't... What I used to admire about Kevin Brown is he'd go right to the line, he'd slip a pass, he'd burst through. I think he's lost that out of his game. I've watched him the last 2 weeks. I've been really, really disappointed with him. Well, he might have just had a bad couple of weeks.
Well, he's still in league, especially. He wants to carry on, doesn't he? And he's enjoyed it a lot more.
So would I if I were on 150 grand a year, Gary.
Do you think Blake Austin's arrival is more Kevin Brown?
Well, Declan Patton has signed a new deal.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And Patton is an out-and-out seven. Is it going to be Patton and Austin next year?
Well, I want Declan Patton to be the number seven. He needs more game time. And you know what I think about him. Quality. Yeah.
I think there's a decision to be made. Definitely.
Matty Smith next year? Catalan?
Is he still at Sheffield?
Who? Matty Smith for Catalan? Why would Catalan want Matty Smith?
Well, maybe they'd already decided to sign him. When Jock Drinkwater, well, but these decisions aren't made today. Or they're made 6 months ago. You know, you plan your recruitment. If Catalan knew that...
Why don't Leeds sign Matty Smith then? He's better than Myler.
So everything goes round in circles.
Why don't Leeds sign Matty Smith? He's better than Myler.
Check the assists this season for tries for a club that is in the bottom four.
Right, I'll tell you what then, Phil.
Richie Myler is top of the chart.
Rich, I've checked the for and against. There's Huddersfield, Widnes and Salford who haven't scored more points than us. So that just tells me...
But the percentage of points that Leeds have scored have come from Richie Myler.
I'm going to become friends with Andy because I have no contacts in rugby league, but he knows everything. He knows about Sean Wayne, and he's saying that Joe Mellor... He's off to Warrington if Widnes go down. So I'm going to make a note of that.
Joe Mellor could be going to Toronto.
Patton will be wearing number 9 and Clark will be moving to play it loose forward.
They've both been on the field.
Yeah, see, Wakefield have signed that King as well, haven't they?
George King.
Yeah.
Ireland international.
There's only one King in Wakefield at the moment.
Burger King.
Why aren't we signing any players? Well,
I've been asking
we've
you
signed
for a while.
Player.
Who? Tongan, I've never heard of him.
Well, did you watch the World Cup?
Well, I'd like to think so. I was there for 6 weeks.
He was there.
But I've never heard of him.
You will have seen him score.
In a beer-induced haze.
That's a bit harsh.
That's a wean you off it, didn't it, for a week, a month when you got back.
That's a bit harsh.
Factually correct.
Yeah, that's when I could go to barbecue. It smells of alcohol, it can't come.
I thought it was because you were banned.
Let's talk the Bulls. Let's talk the Bulls. Julie says, impressed with Newcastle on Friday night also. Bulls defence, want them the game. Two big games coming up, Hunslet away, then York. Two wins and top spot, as good as done. Another ashtray from the RFL.
I just think, again, that Bradford-York game in 2 weeks' time, what a mouthwater. I really hope that Bradford get 6,000 or 7,000 there for that.
And if you're not going, live and exclusive from Spot.
Yeah,
Thomas Ball.
Can't wait. Thomas. Two clubs that are on the up that are really innovative in the way they've approached being in League One this year. Had a fabulous game, first match of the season. Could decide who gets automatic promotion. Fantastic.
Andy, I still don't know where Dave Fafita's going, apart from Nando's. We still, Gary's looking forward to Leeds and Bradford at the Summer Bash. Is that on next year? It will be if those two are in it. The RFL should speak to Gavin Wilson at York and get some ideas from him.
Okay.
Because they keep getting crowds.
And what they do is free. It doesn't cost anything.
Why haven't we got a retro round in Super League?
I don't know any clubs that keep sending me the tweet that they want to put out this week in acknowledgement of the fact that more people know about what's going on, the more chance that they're going to spread the word. York do it every week. So hats off to Gavin and particularly John Flatman.
Very good.
Like a third division team showing the way for the top flight. How is that happening? Elsewhere on social media, loads of stuff came in earlier about random things. Richard Kustmala says, what do you boys make of Widnes signing Anthony Gelling? Looks a bit of a coup and a gamble for him with Championship football potentially.
What do we make of that?
Strange.
I thought he would have had better suitors. And I do know that he wasn't offered to all the clubs, so it seems quite a weird one, that. Whether he wanted just to go back and live where he lived before, maybe, I don't know.
I think that's a bit of a coup for Widnes, and I think a lot of the Widnes fans have said, you know, we haven't seen you spend your money. He won't come particularly cheap. I mean, he has been playing in the New Zealand Warriors team.
Yes. Let's be fair, they could sign anyone they want. He could be out of contract at the end of the season.
He's coming whichever division they play in.
We'll see.
So he says.
There'll be a get out.
So
in
he
that.
Says.
There'll be a get out in that.
Valda is a Nando's in Wakefield. If he's not in Nando's, he'll be in Costa. It's where they all are. While the RFL haven't done a deal with those two firms, tie them up. The Costa Challenge Cup.
Well, maybe they have, but we won't hear about it until 3 weeks after it's happened, like the Ron Seal do. We spotted it on the shirt.
We did. We did. And they're going to move up to the top of the shirt, which is exciting.
But they haven't tweeted about it.
No. Brian's asked us who's going up in Championship 1.
League 1.
League 1.
You've got to imagine the top two, haven't you? Although I'm sure... Well, look, Oldham, Workington, Unslet and Workington.
Nah, Bradford and York are the best two sides, mate.
But when it's on the day...
On the day. It's all on the day. Playoff football. That Cougars is, could still force their way in.
That game is actually massive, isn't it? Mm. Actually massive. If York win that one, it's all up in the air again.
Mm.
Oh, I'm excited. Nicholas, who's not listening at the moment because he's out, is off to meet his local MP to try and get kids involved in it. This is Nicholas in Toronto as opposed to Nicholas in Brigham or something. Wants to get the sport recognised nationally and see the different levels work together towards a common goal. We looked at England and Australia to see what their model was and found they seem to be little fiefdoms who don't work together and don't communicate well.
Didn't take long to find that out.
Nicholas there in Toronto.
He knows.
Rugby League needs a unified plan and common goals. And a Just Giving page, apparently. Tony says, you can see why Super League clubs don't want the bottom four. It adds a lot to this stage of the season when some clubs will be playing for nothing. Is the correct answer,
Tony? You know, this. You know, if it was bottom one went down, the season's over. The season would be over for Wakefield, Catalan, Huddersfield, Leeds, Hull KR and Salford right now. It would have been over.
Hmm. Whichever season, I can't remember which season it was, Halifax went down. I think it was 2003. I think they'd had financial issues or whatever, and they were rock bottom from day one and were never
Lee,
escaped.
Lee in 2005.
Yeah. But don't forget as well, for all these mornings, oh, we don't like it, the uncertainty of it. There will be a season when there's six clubs down at the bottom and only two wins between them, and then that will be real life.
Will that be the
life.
Season of London and Bradford, Matt, 2014?
I'm just saying there'll be teams when there'll be a season where there's anyone can go down.
I'm not sure it's about structure. I think it's about sustainability and doing a proper survey of where we are as a sport at the moment. I think, yes, there is great interest in who is going to be potentially relegated from Super League, but we haven't done enough work on who is capable of coming up into Super League. It is two very different questions.
Okay.
Only one player banned this week, by the way, and it is Akumatai. For a game.
Right. What did he get banned for?
I'll have to go and look for it now. Oh, we released it fairly early this afternoon as well. But one game banned.
Did Chris Hill get a caution?
He got a caution.
Right.
Got a caution.
What, for elbowing?
Don't go around smashing people in the face.
What sort of image does that give to the outside world?
I tell you what, it didn't look very good. Did
he had two pops,
two
didn't he?
Two goals.
Yeah, two must have been two for a quid.
I mean, this isn't anything against Chris Hill, but should he not have got a game?
Yeah,
just to say, look, we don't accept that as behaviour on the field.
Hamlin got penalised for getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
How does that work?
When the website loads up, because my computer's slow because I've got YouTube and everything up. Here we are. Akumatai, great dangerous contacts. One match penalty.
That's spurious dangerous contact. Obviously, Chris Hills wasn't dangerous enough.
I know. Yeah, but Tommy Luluai got away with dangerous contact.
Yeah, I can't remember what Akumatai did. But obviously, you've got a penalty for it.
Nothing on Sebastian Ekahihi, though.
Three to four weeks,
didn't they say, after the game?
Wasn't he going for a scan today?
Right.
That syndesmosis thing.
The same with Liam Farrell, who could be out for the season with his shoulder injury.
Yeah, looked in a world of pain.
Which, again, that will affect Wigan. I know that we rightly laud Sean and the kids that are coming through, but you get to those games towards the end of the season, you want as many as you.
But they'll have all Lachlan, won't they? All Lachlan are playing all the big games. We only don't worry about
Farrell's a loss, isn't it?
And then they've got Williams to come back, haven't they? Mm. He's been in good form, Farrell, hasn't he? Running out wide and showing that bit of pace, looks as though he's got rid of his injuries and whatever, but now he's picked one up again, hasn't he?
Tyke says it was a crusher tackle. Ty did. I can't remember that. I was there and I can't remember. I've seen lots of things.
Yes, now he says that the game was halted.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Everyone's still arguing about Toronto on Facebook, which is lovely.
Would that be the Toronto that drew over 6,000 fans?
Yeah, but they're foreign, aren't they?
Right, so, just checking.
But none of them are from Toronto either, any of the players.
Did Darryl Clark get a crusher tackle on the Wigan game?
That was...
That's the Luluai one.
Oh, is that Luluai?
So that's the inconsistency then.
Yeah, it didn't get sin binned either for said tackle. And we've seen players. Navarre got done for his. I'd love to know someone to explain the difference.
Where's
he got Simbin and a one game ban. Ludwig don't get anything.
I'd say Ludwig had two potty because he had that chicken wing on Westwood at Warrington, and then the
potential cannonball
there as well.
Well played, Ben Westwood, by the way.
Oh, great achievement, great character, brilliant. And I tell you what, he played well at all, didn't he? He's enjoyed his rebellion.
I think he's revitalised, personally.
He's enjoyed it, well done, Benny. Fully, fully deserved.
And he came out with another great quote, saying he looked the same as he did when he started. Not sure he's looking in the mirror.
When he was a young centre,
he might have a big crack in his mirror.
I saw it described as
this.
Probably true, though. Probably true.
I don't think
I don't think he'd dispute it.
I don't look in mine.
I saw a Warrington fan describe it as the best £60,000 they ever spent.
I liked Sean Wayne, again, you know, saying he would have loved to have coached him because he's just his sort of a guy.
And Wayne he presented him with a bottle of red wine as well.
But really well managed.
Red wine in Normanton.
Yeah.
Really well managed as well. I think the latter end of his career he's really been looked after by first Tony Smith and now Steve Price, that just to make sure they can get the best out of him in spells on games. It's good. It's a fantastic achievement.
Well,
500
games.
Yeah,
brilliant. But also, I think the way they're getting the best out of Benny is instead of bringing him off the bench as impact, they're starting him, aren't they? That's what they're doing, and that's how they're getting the best out of him.
Yeah. Annie says Darrell Clark won't play this week because of that shoulder injury that he got in that push, or that neck injury.
It looked a bit serious, didn't it? By the way, Wayne must have won that bottle of red wine in a raffle because he's pretty shy getting his hand.
He's put it on expenses. He said to Ian
Lennigan,
you pay for it.
he's pretty shy going to the bar, he's old Wayne, so I wouldn't imagine he's won it in a raffle.
The Rugby League media people did a great video a few years ago, Ben Westwood looking around the sights of London, which is very funny.
Yes, he is a character.
He's got a career in whatever he wants to be afterwards.
Very dry.
Nathaniel says, because we talked about halfbacks earlier, we forgot about Ollie Russell at Huddersfield. 3 wins from 4 when he was in the side. He's been excellent. Needs to wait for another chance now with Mr.
I'll tell you what, Kevin, if he's not happy at Huddersfield, go sign him, son. Go to Huddersfield and go sign young Russell. Like him. Good player. Give him the responsibility. Your first job, Kevin, go sign a quality halfback, please.
Sir Kev.
They've signed a halfback.
Yeah.
I've never
heard of him, Phil.
You have heard of him?
I haven't.
You have. Did you watch the Pacific Test that was on the other week?
No, because he wasn't on telly.
Did you watch New Zealand?
Belle Isle 2.
Do you remember when Tonga beat New Zealand?
Is he in Belle Isle 2?
Fantastic and a knitting needle down the
room. Don't you start,
Shaw,
right?
They've still got Emmerdale Farm on.
You'll be getting a taxi up tonight, Shaw, right? Don't worry about that.
It's in black and white.
Hey, by the way, we'll get up quick tonight because that 30 mile an hour zone of always finished now, so we'll be all right.
Result. So you'll be getting done for speeding.
No.
Again, did you watch Tonga play New Zealand in the World Cup when Tonga knocked them out?
Yeah.
Just check the try scorers.
All right. Why was he one of them, was he?
Yes.
Well, we didn't because it wasn't.
Well, Tamade was
it? No, but he provided 24 assists.
wasn't on Premier Sports.
He's a good standoff.
He was on the end of 24 assists.
Yeah, so he's a good standoff then. Yeah, that's why we fourth bottom in the league, and that's why we don't score any points.
I mean, no, you can't blame Myler. Come on. Fair's fair. Eh? Fair.
I told you, I'm not saying he's
the world's greatest halfback.
Listen, end of the day.
He might as well have me and Shaw, right? Playing in the forward.
Good enough for Leeds. And I was speaking to two quality ex-Leeds players over the weekend, right? And I'm not going to name them, right? But
I think you should.
And they both totally agree with the legend.
This is a person, right, that wants to name his worst ever Leeds 13 on the show, and he walked to who we were talking to at the weekend.
Don't want to tell you?
Well, I've asked you 3 times.
Don't want to say it?
It's like
four times.
All right.
Jeremy Paxton.
And very, very. And captains of Leeds as well, and quality creative players. One was a hooker, one was a loose forward, Dave Herron and David Ward. So if people don't respect their views, I'm afraid to say you're bonkers. Simple as that. And they agree with the legend. There you go.
As much as I like everyone commenting on Facebook because it makes us look popular.
Now, do you want me to name the worst Leeds ever played?
No!
Can I?
No!
Gallagher. Eddie Rotten.
Why not?
John Gallagher,
Eddie Rombo,
Mark Wilson.
I played well yesterday.
Oh,
good
to see
good solid 20 minutes.
Yeah,
I got
ripped in again on the commentary. Right, I got some hammer on there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Ah, that would have been Craig Murdoch. I
tell you what, though, this is the doc. You see, this is where the old assist stats, right, that Phil keeps coming up with, they rub it because I've got two assists from... In fact, I've got three assists from the last two games I've played. Twice I've given it to that young kid who's run 75 yards and scored.
That's good.
And once I chucked it on the floor, and that big lad with one arm picked it up and badged his way over. So I've got three assists.
That's good.
I'll tell you what. There you go.
But unless
these stats are right. I have got three assists.
Unless you'd done that, they wouldn't have scored.
Exactly.
People are
the fact that Sam Zeller can run 75
move
yards.
Move on, you're doing me a disservice.
He can run 75 yards in about 8 seconds.
You've got to put him in the space.
I'm just glad he's not in the 90s.
I didn't put him in the space, I just give him the ball. He found the space himself.
Anyway, by the way, the player we got shut up, by the way, this week, he scored that trick. There we go.
Who's that?
Danny Maguire. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Not good enough.
But there is,
not good enough for Leeds.
I don't want to.
One in the grand final. Not good enough.
Got a great kicking game, got visiting awareness, scored tries. Anyway.
I don't want to be that person, but this appears to be my role now on this programme. I don't want to say this necessarily, but...
Go on.
We're not exactly putting your arm up your back, so what's going on with it?
It's all right saying Danny Maguire was the man of the match in the grand final.
He was.
But he wasn't great for the whole season at Leeds last year.
There you go. Hold on.
Since the Super League came in... Yeah. And everybody knows, well, we don't have to start playing in March, April, May,
you
June.
That is a nonsense.
The business end starts in July, August, September. So don't give me that tosh. It's the way the system is. Teams don't have to perform well.
Of course they do. It's like a Formula One grid. If you start at the back, you're not going to win.
All right, you have to be in contention. So Leeds have won the grand final from fifth. So how does that work out then?
But not from 12th.
They won't be doing that this year, guys.
Well, but same, but they haven't been playing well. They don't play well week in and week out.
There is a level
because of the system and the structure, you don't need to.
But on his day at the RFL, Sir Kev can knock on the door and say, can we change the format this year?
Yeah, it's the bottom four that get to Old Trafford.
They're like Pop Idol or whatever. There'll be a vote.
Bring back Club Call. Bring back
Hacky Baludic, Leeds. Rhinos and a
bring back
other
club
options.
Call. One of the teams in the top three can nominate another that'll bring a big crowd.
Yeah, so Bradford will be in there.
Steve's missed it. It's not the worst Leeds team ever because he said he could just name Friday's team sheet.
No,
Steve, you've jinxed it now. Oh. You know what's going to happen? I'll score 50 odd points.
I'll be allowed to name it.
Why are Wakefield not coming?
I'll get to Matt Wilson's ribs and I'll name the worst Leeds team I've ever played with.
No, you won't.
But I'm not saying Danny Maguire was rubbish last
year. Do it when you're planning on resigning, because that'll probably be a good time.
I'm not saying Danny Maguire was rubbish, just that he wasn't as good as people have made out just based on one game last year. There's a reason. It goes back to when Leeds won the treble. There wouldn't be a bloody film about it had Liam Sutcliffe not gone injured.
Correct. I completely agree with that sentiment.
But people forget that because revisionist history.
Because Kevin
history
Sinfield would not winners. Have played for Leeds, would he?
No, he wouldn't. No. Matt Demo will pick him.
He'd have been like Brad Dwyer. He'd be on Joel Reg at Fev.
Scoring six tries at Fev.
Won't have him.
Flat cap Fev.
Won't have him.
Jason says, can you give my mate, Dave Thompson, who plays for Whitehaven, a big shout out? He's on fire. I don't know if he is or not. Apparently
he's a winger, yes. He scored last week against us.
Yeah?
Superb performance and result from Facts yesterday, says Billy. Really proud of the season so far. The club on and off the pitch have been outstanding in so many ways. Credit to @LS28 Halifax, RLFC as well, who've really given the club a shot up the arm it needed. Up the Facts, says Billy.
We mentioned it earlier. They're having a great season.
Mm-hmm.
Ted asks, have Saints taken their foot off the gas and could they regret it?
You can only play what's in front of you. I think the interesting thing for Saints is going to be exactly what Castleford had to decide last year. When they get to the eights and they know they've assured the league leadership probably with four or five games to go, do they change the team? Do they preserve their star names for the semi-finals and the final?
I don't think you will, Phil.
I'm just saying, or do you run the risk that when you get to those games, you might have lost one or two of your players through injury?
I don't think Albrook will rest anybody.
It's just a difficult one to manage.
I don't think he was out.
Without three players this week, I think, against Widnes. So I don't know if that's deliberate rotation.
They've got Wigan as well coming up. So they've got Hull away, they've got Wigan. I don't know who else the other one is. We'll confirm that.
I knew we shouldn't have closed the Super League website.
And then obviously the Dragons. And the Dragons, whether they win or lose, will give Saints a bit of a battering.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course they will.
They'll get ripped in.
They will.
Yes, we shall see.
Is young Truman in the night squad? He is, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Are you happy with that?
Oh, without a doubt.
Does that mean that Kev doesn't get to go to Papua New Guinea now?
Well, it's post-season, so he probably will.
Go scouting.
Hey, Phil.
Could do worse than picking up a Paul Ayton didn't do a bad job for him.
Philip, let me just tell you this. if it's not working out for Leeds, the Leeds fans will be demanding he doesn't have any role with the RFL whatsoever. The job is big enough at the biggest club in the game. We know that, Phil. We know that. The Leeds fans will be demanding that he gets it turned around very quickly.
He is allowed to have the odd time off. And if he wants to go to PNG with the England...
Well, I don't see Gary having a time off. Gary's always in Australia recruiting this sort of thing.
Yeah, he goes on holiday occasionally.
He's always in Australia recruiting. Yeah, what, Luke Briscoe? Well. Yeah, he has to go to Australia for that.
Check those expenses.
Who signs it? Paul Carrick signed his expense claim. Where have you been, Gary? I've been getting as a winger. Oh, yeah, and he's good.
Who signs him from Tottenham? I've never heard of.
He's from
he's
from the Gold Coast, Featherstone. What? Where?
I've heard Featherstone referred to as the Gold Coast before.
But no, the Leeds fans will be demanding that his commitment is fully to us. It is. He'll turn it around.
Featherly Hills.
He'll turn it around.
He'll turn it around.
That's what they were saying on the Titanic, mate. He'll turn it around. He'll be all right. Don't worry. Don't panic. No panic.
Mark my words. He'll turn it around. Yeah. He will.
It's the end of an era, mate.
David Moyes.
They're a million miles off. They're a million miles away.
At this moment
away.
In time, they're
they
a million
are
miles
a million
off.
Million
but he
miles
will turn
away.
It. He will turn it round.
All right, they're a million miles away. Have a look at this squad, right? Let's do this. I'm going to do this now, right? See, let's
just tell us who the other games St. Helens have got.
Fixtures,
then. Let's go predictions. Come on, let's go predictions.
No.
We're going away on the Thursday, and then they are at home to Warrington the Thursday after. So if you like Saints on a Thursday night, that's your people for you.
Okay. Right, Aston Golding, fullback. Next season, is he going to be fullback? Go on, I'm asking you, Schofield.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Tom Briscoe will stay, sign a new deal, and
yeah,
Tom Briscoe.
Playing well at the moment as well.
Sutcliffe?
50-50.
No, he'll stay. He's signed a contract.
Yeah, but
that's the question.
It's Joel Moon, he's off on his way. Yeah. Ryan Hall, is he signing a new deal?
They've got a new guy looking at retention and recruitment, maybe he will.
Jordan Lilly? No. Richie Myler? Aledski, yeah, good enough. Matt Parcell, will he be there next year?
Mm. Well, they'll get a fee if he isn't.
Brad Singleton, yeah. Stevie Ward, I think he needs to change how he plays. He gets injured too much. Mm-hmm. And it's almost his desire to run through a brick wall. He needs to be smarter. He needs to pick his fights, I think. Mm. Brave as a lion, but that's not always the best
way. But not seeing out the 80 minutes.
Brett Ferris?
No.
Cuthbertson, new contract. Jack Walker, yeah. Brett Delaney?
No.
Mullally?
Yeah.
Josh Walters?
No.
So there's a lot of no's there. Mm-hmm. You've got JJB coming to the end with the best in the world. Ablett on his way out.
Sinfield will realise this. He knows now.
You can't just go out and buy 10 new players.
Ablett's an interesting one.
The squad's not good enough. He realises it straight away.
Sinfield decides that Ablett needs to stay for a year because there's some good kids coming through that need that leadership group around them. He's not signed for anybody else yet. Do you think he's going to have an influence on stuff like that in the immediate short term?
That's a family decision, isn't it? We need to know, is that a decision his family are making or is that him saying,
I
don't want to work for Brian McDermott anymore?
No, I think
that's a serious question.
I think it's partly to do with the fact that Leeds weren't offering him anything for next year.
Right.
But if, as the new director of rugby, Kevin Sinfield says, these are some generals that I need out on the field, will that mean that he'll stay?
We'll see. But I just think they're a million miles away.
At this moment in time,
they're a million miles.
But he will sort it out. Don't worry.
Don't worry. Nathaniel Pettirew will come back and solve all the problems.
Jeez.
Andrew says,
I think I've played more for Leeds this season than Nathaniel
you have. No, actually, you've had two games, so you have.
I have. I've played more time. Yeah.
Let's be fair. We don't know how good he is. He could be brilliant, but.
Yeah, he's been unlucky.
Two biceps injuries one after. Same with Galloway. Nobody could foresee that he would snap his Achilles tendon.
That Pettirew's like buffoon, isn't it? Rubbish.
How do you know? How can you pass judgment on somebody who's played for at most 40 minutes this year?
I can't wait for your Hall of Fame induction in.
Should be there. Yeah. Think they'd have a PDRL England team. I could get in that.
Get your heritage number.
Well, that's why I'd keep playing PDRL because there will be some internationals at some stage in the not too distant future.
Right. I'm getting ripped in.
You have to get that 47th Great Britain cap.
Well, imagine all the able-bodied facilitators at every club will be wanting maybe the only three shirts that they'll be giving out.
When's Uncle Mo's on the telly?
That'll be when all the famous people will come out then. Yeah, I can see
Nigel
it.
Nigel Wright will
already.
Be going, yeah, I feel it's happening already.
I'll be captain, organiser, goal kicker, tactical kicker.
It's on there.
Oh, no, I'm not allowed to do that, am I?
No. No. So no, you know when Phil Ladder said all he does is score ties.
Well, you one thing you can't do.
You can't play. Can't kick, can't score. In fact, I think that's what they said about me before they realised the rules. What's he playing for? Can't kick, can't score, can't tackle.
Hold on, read that lead squad out again.
Sam Zeller in the lead squad.
I'll tell you what, yeah.
Came in the squad.
Yeah, he's like a whippet, that lad. There's some very good players anyway, PDRL. Watch it, it's good fun. I'll tell you what, I'd like to see some of our media colleagues have a go at that PDRL. Mm.
You get an appreciation of it then, don't you?
You know what? I'd like that Matt Short to get under there. I want to belt him.
We want Halifax to have a team.
No, let's put the charge down now. We'll take on Radio Leeds. We'll take five of yours versus five of us.
Get it out there, Richard Short. Right, come on, then we're in. Let's get Rich in.
Snooker. Fighting. Snooker.
British Bulldog.
Let's get Rich in. Let's get five-a-side rugby league in. I'm going to belt that Matt Short.
Take you on. Yeah. I'm injured, so I can't play.
But like when Neil Warnock was manager of Sheffield United, won't be able to carry on.
Hey,
so
Phil, don't wear your knee bandage just to prove that you're injured. Don't be wearing your knee bandage.
I'll tell you one.
False sense of security.
That Buchan, we'll take him. We'll take them all out. We're coming for you. We'll be outside. We're off there.
You all right, Rich?
Yeah.
You'll take 5 minutes? So.
I tell you, we've got right from road. Tom, haven't we? Tom, Rich and Phil Hooker.
We'll get him. Yeah.
Well, you've got a right front row. What happens when it comes out of the scrum?
You were 7 meters 6. We've got plenty of pace.
This is your pre-match entertainment. Booking. Well, you get the crowd down.
Yeah.
Plenty of pace.
Right. Norm, it's required. I have got Gav's book. I have read Gav's book. And I promise next week, Gav, I will play your interview out. And we will give away a copy of the book. It is a great book. I've read it. I'll tell you what. Talk about Del Boy. And,
who's this?
No Helmets Required. The American footballers, basically, that went on tour to the tour around Australia. New South Wales, Queensland. And it's basically just this chance of this daydream with like a Del Boy. He said, I'm going to take a team player in Australia. And he did it.
And yet the most bizarre thing is that one of those players played professionally. So there was some real talent in that.
Well, when you
Al
read
Kirkland
all the reports.
Played at Leeds.
Yeah.
Not for long, but then went back and played in Australia.
Yeah. Bizarre, isn't it? So we will do it, Gav. Right? I know he listens, and I've promised him for the last 3 weeks I'll put it on. But I've read the book now, so I feel we'll talk about it next week.
And it also shows that every time we talk about development, it's not new.
No.
We just haven't done it very well.
Yeah.
We could have had a team playing in America in the 1950s.
Yeah. He's getting more plugs by the fact that we keep joining it.
Well, exactly, Gav, if you're listening. No, it's required.
Tell you what, as well, talking about development, predictions are coming on. I got 5 out of 6 again last week. I'll tell you what, I've got to be developing up that league table now.
No,
easily.
I think you're struggling.
I've got 4 minutes.
Huddersfield against Wigan.
Oh boy!
Tough one.
Huddersfield, it is a tough one, isn't it? But if all Auckland's back and they keep Bruffy quiet, I'm just going to go. I'm going to go Wigan by 8.
Yeah, Phil.
Huddersfield.
Wigan.
I would have gone Wigan, but no Akuma. Sorry, I would have gone Huddersfield, but no Ty and no Kiefer for me. They ain't got enough size. I've got to go Wigan. Right, Warrington Catalans.
Catalans are in great form. I just think that the road what they're on, they'll keep going. And I don't think they'll be intimidated there at Warrington. I'm going Catalans by 10.
Do you know if Catalan went back after the Wakefield game on Saturday? Did they stay over?
I don't know.
If they've stayed over, I'll go Catalan.
All right.
Wire, narrowly.
Hull Saints.
Who are you going for?
I'm going Catalans.
Yeah, I just think Hull out of form, Saints. They'll be one of making sure that Hull don't make the top four. I'm going Saints. I'm going Saints quite easy. I'm going Saints by 14.
Won't be easy because you don't normally beat Lee Radford's team twice in succession easily. So Saints, but narrowly.
Saints.
There's got to be a response. I don't know if we've got any players back this week. I want to say all, but I can't. St Helens. Leeds Wakefield, the relegation derby. Come on, the boys.
The Sir Rodney Walker derby.
Well, I'm going to give them one last chance. I'm giving them one last chance.
Wakey by 24.
the players respond. They respond to the challenge. I'm giving them one last chance. I'm going, dare I say it, I'm going Leeds by 10.
Are you bonkers?
There's no point asking me.
Draw.
Leeds.
I'm going Wakefield.
You go for Leeds, Rich?
Yeah. Psychology, innet?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, the Wakefield people hate you. They hate you even
lose,
more.
Though, can they? Because he's
smiling. Who are you for, Phil?
It's Leeds. No point asking me.
Salford, Cass. Put you down for Salford.
Gemma Carter, your team's rubbish.
How many? How many? At Salford.
I'll go Cass by 24.
Cass easy.
Yeah. Rich?
Yeah, Cass.
I'm going Cass by more than 24.
Yeah, it'll be more than 20.
Widnes Hull KR.
Rovers.
Hull KR in great form. And Maguire's back to his bet. Getting great response.
Maguire might not play, though, because it's on the eye pitch at Widnes.
Oh, doesn't like it. But anyway, I still think Hull KR have got too much for Widnes. I'm going Hull KR by 12.
Yeah, I think Rovers are in such good form at the moment that they'll just have too much firepower.
Rich?
Rovers.
And the big one, London Halifax in the Championship.
Enjoying the Championship, and I say I'm going again. The big man himself, Morel, playing well, and I think they'll do it again. I think they'll turn it on. I'm going Halifax by 10.
I think it was a fantastic result for London in Toulouse that went under the radar.
Danny Ward was very disappointed,
he said. Yeah, but I think they have to win. If London don't win, then I think the top four probably disappear, so I'm going for the Broncos.
Just to really make it even more complicated, draw.
Pratt. Right, that's about.
Who you go for?
London. I think London will win. That is it. We are live Huddersfield Wigan, and I believe we're live at Leeds Wakefield as well on Friday night. So we're looking forward to the action on Proper Sport. Thanks to everyone that's got involved. Gav Willis say I will give away your book next week. I do promise. If I don't, will he score his worst ever Leeds team? Right, Leeds in crisis. We'll be back next week at 6. Don't forget you can download The Last Tackle. Download the podcast as well. If you've listened on Facebook, share it with your friends. Gary, it's been a pleasure as ever. Thanks. Yeah, cheers. Phil, it's been a pleasure.
Georgia, thanks.
And Richard, I look forward to the lawyers ringing from the BBC as soon as we go off.
We're coming for you.
And if you get a chance, watch that PDRL game, because it really was fantastic to be a part of, and hopefully one day you might get a crack at doing it as well. We'll see. So Scully's fit for the big one, 2 weeks against Wakefield.
I need some boots.
Shut up.